coming from somebody who was in the military, latrines are not only used for shitting. They have various uses, and more than enough is never enough.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode. I'm Bobby.
And I was not ready with something. I'm never ready, but like usually it goes through three people. So then I can, like, I have time to build up what I'm going to say. And now it's just like, I'm Bobby and like, I'm not that spontaneous. So here we are.
You can just introduce yourself for the new listeners.
I'm Emilio, a.k.a. Ender's Logic, a.k.a. part of the Funky Bunch, a.k.a. the DL. That's a little shout out to our first episode where Bobby, I don't know, just kept going down the AKAs.
Yeah, we weren't sure how to introduce ourselves.
Yeah.
Yeah, by the way, there's a problem with our old episodes. You can't access those. So it ended up being a switch we made back in January, I think, to a new system of counting our metrics. So if you were trying to access earlier episodes of the show, you wouldn't have been able to, but I fixed that going back to July. I've got to go through every single episode and fix it. So
how so, like drag and drop or what?
No, I've got to go into each post on WordPress and correct the URL that it points to for the audio. Yeah. It's just deleting something that I'd put at the end. So it's not that bad, but it's going to take a little while and it's not very enjoyable work, but from back to July until now is working, and I'll continue working on the archive because it is kind of nice to go to our website, hit the search button, type in any game and see if we've talked about it or what episode we talked about it on.
You can go to Fiverr, dude, and have somebody do it from Kerplakistan for $350.
Yeah, if I want to give them access to our WordPress, I don't know about that. All right. But anyway, before we get started, I just want to say we've got a survey going on right now. So every now and then we do this. We like to get a little feedback from the community. I'm going to link it in the show notes. And I know people always say, hey, take the survey for us. It'll be really quick. And then it ends up taking you like 10 minutes. 10 minutes is too long for a survey for me. Like, I don't want to spend 10 minutes filling out a survey. For sure. This survey will literally take you 1 minute. It's 10 questions. It's rate things 1 through 5. All right, there's no short answer. It's all multiple choice. Real easy. And if you do it, it'll help us out a lot. We want to get as many people as possible taking the survey just so we can, you know, kind of get an idea of where we're at and where we should be headed.
Yeah. So there's going to be a link in the show notes, or you could go to our Discord, and we have it in under announcements, or it has its own channel, actually, just called Survey. So you just click there, and you could do it through there.
Or just scroll down on your podcast app. It'll be there.
It's all anonymous, so you can go in there and just, you know, call us.
And really let us have it.
Call us the N-word all the way through, or whatever it is. Did you see what happened to the NASCAR guy, dude?
I heard about that. The guy who was streaming.
Yeah, his friend was streaming. He connected, and he was like, hey, Ninja. Just like that's how they greet each other. And he's like, you know, you're being recorded now. He's not a NASCAR driver anymore.
Wow.
Yeah. It escalated.
Yeah, dude, you got to be careful. What are people thinking, man?
Like, yeah.
What the hell, dude? Like that's.
Anyway, speaking of our Discord, I'm really proud of it. And I forget how proud of it I am from time to time. We are in a really good spot as far like. We had some early days that were awesome. Then, or actually they were rough in the beginning because nobody was there. Then it was awesome for a while. Then we had some rough days. And then now we're like real smooth sailing. There was actually a guy that I talked to. He was one of our newest patrons. And he said he came in to the Discord first and liked the Discord so much. This has actually happened twice this month, if I remember right. Two people came in through the Discord, not through the podcast, and became patrons through just the Discord. They enjoyed the Discord that much. So if you're not on this Discord, you're really missing out. I wouldn't say, you know, come over here and you're going to be playing multiplayer with a bunch of people. For some reason, not a whole lot of video game playing. I mean, the number one thing being played maybe is
there's a good amount. There's always like a small group of people playing this or that. A lot of Call of Duty, Modern Warzone, Warfare.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah.
Warzone. That's usually what's being played. Or like Saturday nights, there's always, you know, something going on. But for the most part, it's not, I mean, just come over. It's a really good time. Everybody's really friendly. We got rid of all the assholes.
Well, thanks to our, we're now, we got a great team of moderators that do all the work for us. So, yeah.
That's true.
Good community. I almost consider the Discord the core of our, of what we do, even more than the podcast sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, sometimes it's almost like, whatever. We'll take attention however we can get it. The other thing is, so there was a miscommunication with Rusty Bagels. He thought that we were $25 short from getting the Vive, so he gave us $25. Then we sent him $60, which was super weird. But anyway, but really we're short $25 in patrons. So we needed 25 more pledges or $25 worth of pledges. So however that works out, shakes out, that's what we needed. Whether you can upgrade or whatever, if you want to sign up for the first time.
Yeah, that's five people at the $5 tier or two people at the $10 and one at the $5.
Yeah, yeah. And there's an $18 tier too, I think.
Is there?
Yeah, I think so. Okay. Is there? Don't sound so disgusted, dude.
$18, all yeah. right.
That Sniper came up with that. Fucking Canadian. I think he did the, he put it all in Canadian money and it was, it all looked legit. And then he transferred it over to ours and we have like $17.75.
All right. So yeah, check out the Discord, dlgaming.net. You can get to all that stuff. And before we talk about some games, it's time for the game show where we bring somebody on and we see if they can identify sounds and music from some video games.
Okay, out of all the fucking bumpers that we need, the, like the game show, the da-na-na-na-na-na, like something with like 70s something would be good.
Like the Hollywood Squares theme or something.
Yeah.
All right, let's see who we've got on the line. We've got a mystery caller today. Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Hi.
Hey, how you doing there? We got Nelson Cumberbatch on the line.
Hi, it's Nielsen.
Oh, Nielsen, I'm sorry. How are we doing today, Nielsen?
Good. I'm just a, I don't know if this is the right, so I'm a 54-year-old high school instructor.
Okay.
And I found a video of a seal playing with a giant beach ball. And I'm hoping this is the right place to call. I want to download it. I want to download this video to my computer device. And is there a Robert Digital? Is there a Robert Digital here?
Yeah, you're actually speaking with Robert Digital here.
Okay.
So you're having trouble downloading a file.
I don't know. What is a download? Can you explain what exactly that would be?
Well, you know, I've been asked that question a lot this week since I've been supporting many teachers online. A download is when you take a file from the internet and put it on your computer by way of clicking on your mouse.
Isn't my computer on the internet already, Bobby? Why would I have to?
That's what I've been thinking. Why can't I just drag? Can I drag the YouTube video? Why can't I drag it?
Drag it? Yeah, that's not going to work. It doesn't sound like computers are your thing here, Nielsen.
No. I don't even know. I don't know. I'm sorry. I have to leave.
Well, how about... Oh, there, and he's gone. Up. All right.
Is that Minnie? Minnie, are you there?
Yeah, man, I'm here.
Did you listen to that, dude?
I did.
Oh man!
All right. So, that's been a little taste of my week supporting people online through phone and internet, or I'm sorry, phone and email. But Minnie, since you're here, why don't we give you a shot at the mystery sound?
Oh, okay.
I think Minnie will be good at the other. Do you have the other stuff ready to go, Bobby?
What other stuff?
You know, the other sound effects, the music.
Yeah,
the,
yeah.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, we're going to do that. We're going to go through the sounds, and then you'll get a shot at the mystery sound. And, you know, lucky for you, I think you're going to nail this mystery sound. Like, if anyone's going to get it on the first try, it's going to be Minnie Del Macho here.
Well, now if I don't, I'm going to feel like a jackass.
If you don't, I will be very surprised. But first, let's start with a little music, all right? Can you tell us what game this comes from? I'm going to give you, because the mystery sound I think is going to be easy for you, I'm going to give you a really hard one. This is a deep cut.
All right.
Give you a hint. This is from the final level.
Final level, man.
The final level of a very popular video game series. We haven't seen an entry in a while. Any idea what that might be?
Man.
Oh, man.
I have no idea, dude.
I try to avoid like AAA games as much as I can. And I can't think of anything that... No, I got nothing.
All right. Chad is saying Super Mario Odyssey and Transistor. I'm sorry, no.
Can I guess?
Yeah, go for it.
Is it Mass Effect?
No. That's kind of a good guess, though, because it's got that synthy vibe to it.
Yeah.
No, that game is actually Max Payne 3.
Oh, wow. That is a
super deep part,
yeah,
man.
We all forgot about Max Payne.
A funny story about Max Payne 3 is, so I played the first two, and I love them.
Mm-hmm.
And then I played Max Payne 3, and for some reason, like, this was like 5 years ago, you downloaded the game on Steam, and then you had to log into, I think it was like EA's thing mm-hmm. to play it.
Yep, and we all know what download means.
So something happened with my EA account, and this is before Steam did any type of refunds, so my EA account didn't work, so I was unable to play Max Payne 3. Like I got like halfway through the game and I couldn't play it any longer because my EA account got screwed up. Okay. I contacted EA about it. They told me to contact Steam. Steam told me to contact EA. So I was never able to finish that game.
Oh yeah. Been there. I had a very similar issue. There was this time period where you would activate games, but on two different platforms, and then one of them would get messed up and the game was like absolutely useless. And then it's like a dead game in your Steam library. Exact same thing happened to me with Games for Windows Live. God, that was a horrible time for Microsoft. They've come so far. But that happened to me with the game that, Minnie, you are really, really good at. What was that game called? First-person shooter. Not Counter-Strike, but
Blacklight?
Blacklight, yes. Blacklight Retribution, I believe.
Yeah, that was the last one. That one, those servers just died like 3 months ago. They just finally shut that game down.
Really? It was a good mm-hmm. game, but you had to activate it on Games for Windows Live. I had closed out my Games for Windows Live account because I had another one that I was starting to activate all my new games to, and I couldn't switch Blacklight Retribution over. It was a mess. There were some tough times.
I've had a lot of problems with...
Blacklight was bought by a Chinese company like 4 years ago.
Hmm. Okay.
Oh, you know, something for the news later. I don't want to fuck it up, but I'm not going to remember. Remind me about China in the news.
Right.
For those who don't know, Minnie was a caster. He was our third caster.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And then he fucked off and went to Texas, where I believe he's enjoying life now. Is that true?
No, it's not. I'm in Texas, but not enjoying it.
Well, I remember when you first got there, you were killing the game. Like, the money was good. The cost of living was low. But it is Texas, right? Rattlesnakes.
Yes. But I'm, like, in South Texas, so I'm not in, like, a really good city. I'm not in Dallas or Houston or anything. No big, fun cities. I'm in a small South Texas city. And I'm ready to get out. I'm planning on moving out of this city pretty soon. I don't want to go to San Antonio.
Oh. Are you coming back over here?
No, probably not.
Oh.
Hmm. As much as I want to, that place is just too damn expensive after my eyes have been opened to like what normal living standards are.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Yep.
All right. Well, we got another sound to play for you here. This one is a sound effect, and I would be surprised if you did not get this one right, too. I'm going to play it for you right now.
A brawl is surely brewing.
This is Cuphead.
Oh, nice, man.
That is Cuphead. That's the second Cuphead sound that we played here, and you know, somebody had mentioned or somebody had guessed Street Fighter on the other Cuphead sound we played. I'm like, it kind of does sound like Street Fighter.
That would have been a good one for the mystery sound, I feel.
But I like to stick to PC gaming. And we should make it clear, the mystery sound is always going to be something PC.
How is Cuphead not PC gaming?
Oh, you're talking Cuphead. I thought you were talking about Street Fighter.
Oh, gotcha.
No, well, Cuphead's too easy. Come on, everyone knows Cuphead, except for Gummy or whoever.
He nailed it before I did. I was like, oh, what is this?
Well, me, I know you played a lot of Cuphead. I didn't make it past the second level. That's not my type of game, but you really like that one.
Yeah, I blew through that game in one sitting, actually.
Yeah, that speed run, that's a very good speed run to watch. I highly recommend the Cuphead speed run.
Yeah, it is.
I beat it in probably in the first week. Yeah, it was one of these things where, like, I had to prove to myself that I was still a decent gamer. And I felt pretty good after doing it.
No, that definitely is an accomplishment, man. Yeah. Cuphead is not an easy game.
No. But most people gave up right away.
Yeah, it is a difficult game, especially for someone like me who doesn't usually use a controller.
Yeah, I can't imagine. Did you use a controller for this game?
I think I had to.
Because I know I've seen you play keyboard and mouse on games that I would not ever think about using.
Like Rocket League, I use keyboard and mouse. I still haven't jumped to the controller. All right, so this is the big mystery sound here. Let's see if you can get it.
Is that Dark Souls?
Okay, you're gonna have to be a little more specific.
I've actually never played them, so I'm just gonna go with Dark Souls 2.
Okay, ooh. But we're looking for what is the sound?
Oh,
not just the game it's from.
Oh, okay. I'm just trying to place that now. I'm going to.
How do you know the sound if you never played them? That's so strange.
I don't like the save point area.
Oh, the bonfire.
No, yeah.
I'm sorry. That is incorrect. Okay. Good guess, though. And I thought you'd played a lot of Dark Souls.
I play Souls-like, but not Dark Souls. Like, I've been playing The Surge this week.
Oh, nice.
That's that game is good. It's hard. I'm not good at that game at all.
Surge 2 is coming out, or is out.
I think it is out. Yeah, it is out. And Jedi, what was that? Jedi Souls-like? That was a good one. I love that one, man.
Oh, Fallen Order?
Fallen Order, yeah, that was a really good game. I know you didn't like it too much, Bobby, but I absolutely adored that game.
Yeah, it wasn't, you know, I don't want to say, I feel weird calling it Souls-like because that implies that it's super hard, and it is challenging at parts, especially some of the boss fights, but
it's not super hard. There's like a 4 levels of difficulty that you can just select on your own, and even like the hardest isn't like Dark Souls level hard.
But it does have that kind of a attack pattern combination, exploration, very non-linear. It is similar to Dark Souls in a lot of ways.
Yeah, and Sekiro, I played and beat Sekiro, and that was an amazing game as well. Mm-hmm. And then Neo.
So my friends are, I keep mentioning this because it keeps happening, my non-gamer friends are hitting me up for like gaming advice, what they should be playing and stuff. And so this one guy had a PS4, but he doesn't buy anything for it. He doesn't know. So I was like, dude, you got to get The Last of Us remastered, right? It's one of the greatest games ever created. So he's like, I was going to, but then I got something about Shadows Die Sometimes or something.
Oh,
and I was like, dude, you haven't played a video game in 5 years and you bought Sekiro? Like, good luck, dude. Go fuck off, dude. Thank you for asking my advice. There's zero chance you're getting anywhere in that game. There's zero chance.
I like that title better. Shadows Die Sometimes.
It sounds like it is a little catchy for sure.
I wanted to ask. So is there, can you put it on easy? Is there?
Not Sekiro. No.
No, there's no.
Yeah, that one's made by the people who made Dark Souls, I believe. It's like a From Software game.
Minnie, do you have a dog?
Yes, two. Oh,
okay, good. Because if you won the $10, we're going to send you $10 worth of used dog food. So,
okay.
It was good. But you didn't get it, so I think the next person's going to get, what is it, $15 next week?
Used dog food?
Used
dog food. Dog shit.
Well, you can interpret it how you like. It's quality used dog food.
Okay.
All right.
Because, like, once you use dog food, it just turns into shit, right?
I wasn't going to say it.
Depends on what you mean by use.
Yeah. Maybe somebody bought it, stored it for a while, didn't like it, and sent it back. It's refurbished. Refurbished dog food.
Refurbished dog food.
Right.
It's marked down.
Well, now I'm glad I didn't win.
All right, Minnie, you going to hang around for the rest of the show?
Yeah, I got time.
Cool.
Why do you sound better than we do, man? Like, your sound is incredible.
I got a good mic, but I don't know. It's about this on the same level of yours, like a good entry level mic. I don't know.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, having a good mic's like the nicest thing you can do for people, I feel.
Oh yes.
And really quickly, did you add anything to? Oh, I see. You did on the radar, but highlights. Can you put DBZ? Because I want to talk a little bit about that, where you're at with that, and what's going on.
All right. Yeah, we'll put that on. But before we do that, let's talk about On the Radar, games that have come to our attention recently, both old and new, that we want to talk about. First one up is XCOM Chimera Squad. So this is another XCOM game that's coming out, and it's different than the other XCOM games. They're really making a leap in some areas with this. First of all, the characters have more of a backstory. As opposed to in the old XCOM games, you kind of have these generic characters and you kind of imposed your own story on them. Like, I'm going to name him Chad. And then, you know, all of a sudden you have a connection to him because it's like, it's my buddy Chad. We don't want to see anything happen to him. And then he dies and you feel sad. But in this, the characters are actually going to have their own backstory. So that's different. Also, there's going to be some different mechanics in the game, which I'm really excited about. Number one, combos. So if you have one character type here and another character type there, they can combine their abilities and do some sort of special move together, which I think is really cool. And the other thing is, I didn't know XCOM, I guess I forgot this, but XCOM games in the past have always had one side takes their turn, then the other side takes their turn. This one is going to actually split it up. So this character goes first, this character, maybe he's on the enemy team, goes second, this guy goes third. You know, it's going to split it up.
It's more like D&D.
Yeah, exactly. More like...
So like there was probably like an initiative
that's what I was thinking.
Trait.
Yeah, like in Divinity.
Yeah, okay.
And here's the crazy thing. This game must be pretty short because it is only $10. It's on sale right now for $10. Going to go up to $20 after May 1st.
Did you pick it up, Bobby?
No, not yet. It comes out April 23rd, just right around the corner here.
I feel like you
should
pull the trigger.
Day before my birthday. Just throwing that out there. but yeah, this looks good because I love a game that's just like, you know what? We're going to make a short game and we're going to charge you less for it. Like, that's definitely what I'm looking for.
You're guessing it's short.
For 10, 20 bucks, and the other games were like $60 retail, it's got to be shorter, right?
Who knows?
I would assume so.
It seems like reusing a lot of the assets from the other games, and that's how they saved a bunch of money. Or one of the ways.
Yeah, it's possible.
It looks like you have some of the aliens on your team now, too. So
yeah, so this takes place after all the stuff happens in XCOM 1 and 2. Humans and aliens have now gotten along, but there's a lot of people who don't like that and want... to separate
Trump supporters,
I guess. Yeah. But your team is comprised of both aliens and humans. And in other XCOM games, you could play as the aliens. You could mind control them in ways. So there were opportunities to play as aliens and use their abilities, but, this is going to probably let you build more into that. So this looks great, man. Like I know in the past I've talked about how I'm completely over XCOM and I feel weird going back to it, but this actually, I would play this 100% over XCOM 2.
You know, it's funny about XCOM 2 is like it got really good reviews when it came out, but then its DLC got even better reviews. Mm-hmm. And the DLC is like twice the price as of the regular game. And I want to play the DLC more than I want to play the base game. I don't know why. I'm never going to get around to either one of them. So I don't know why. Torturing myself about it.
Yeah,
just looking at this video here, there's a lot more abilities, look like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the combination,
like, looks like special powers that weren't in the other one, like that ground smash, that looks badass.
Yeah,
just destroying environment by doing a big like Hulk smash, that's really cool.
Yeah, and XCOM games have always done that turn-based combat so well, so I'd be willing to try this one out.
I'm gonna say it looks like a little bit of a more cheeky approach too. You guys keep picking up on that vibe? Like maybe a little more cartoony?
Definitely. I definitely agree with that.
Cool.
All right.
A lot more wild stuff going on.
Yeah.
Multiplayer, Bobby, on this? Probably not,
right? Single player only.
Okay.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, that is XCOM Chimera Squad. Next up, excited about this one, Crysis Remastered. If there was ever a game to remaster, I guess it would be Crysis. So... the thing is, when Crysis came out in 2007 or 8, you know, the meme was, I don't know if we had memes back then, but regardless, it was, can it run Crysis? You know, I used to be on a lot of forums and like Tom's Hardware and other sites, and, you know, people would talk about certain hardware, and then there was always some joker who was like, yeah, but can it run Crysis? You know, that was the whole joke. So Crysis has always been this game. And I remember building this like supercomputer that I thought was just going to crush this game, and the screen just went black when I turned up all the settings up. This game was impossible to run back in 2008 when it came out. So
why does it need to be remastered? Because I feel like the graphics still hold up.
I don't know. I haven't been back to it in quite some time. But here's the thing. They are saying, based on the limited promotion that they've done for this, like a short teaser trailer and some screenshots, a few tweets, it looks like they're going for that again. They're trying to make a game that's going to break your computer. Mm. And back in 2008, that's what everybody was trying to do. Like, a good game was one that looked really good. That was like the qualification for a good game. Didn't really matter. I mean, Crysis itself is like a pretty generic shooter, especially by today's standards. I guess back then it was kind of novel in some ways. But this is really just aiming to be like, an insane experience with ray tracing, high resolution textures, just like something that not everybody's computer can run.
A tech demo.
Yeah,
in a full
blown.
Yeah,
full blown game.
That was I actually saw a meme about this one today. It was a Crysis 2007 had a picture of a computer on fire, and then Crysis 2020 was a picture of the entire house was on fire.
I saw a meme of I think it was graphics cards just running away from this announcement.
Yeah. It looks like it's kind of funny because I want to say like 2012 or 13, we had this whole revolution in gaming where you could make some crappy looking indie game and it could take the world by storm. You know, it could be the next big hit and you could run it off of like a 2005 Dell, you know. Graphics stopped being this front that we were trying to breach.
Well, not just that, Bobby. I feel like, okay, when Crysis came out, obviously the software is way past what the hardware could do. But then shortly after that and up until now, I feel like the hardware is way in front of what the graphics can do. I don't think that the current state of what's going on, maybe it's cost, how much cost it is to make games look that good. I mean, we're talking about like modern day 2020 AAA graphics.
It depends though, because we have people split in two camps. Most people are still 1080p and it's not hard to max out all your settings and eye candy on 1080p.
Right.
But a lot 4K. Of people have made the jump to 4K or, you know, like me, 1440p, and that's when it starts to get a little tough sometimes. So I don't know. We'll see, but I don't think they have a release date on this yet. Yeah, it says just coming soon. But I would love to just replay Crysis. I never got around to playing the third one. I really enjoyed the first one. The second one was, they kind of improved on a few things, but it was really quick and kind of flew right by. I don't know. I wouldn't
mind playing Crysis. The third one had like skills you could upgrade. I'm not sure about the first two because I didn't really play those much. But yeah, the third one had a little more depth to it than just going around shooting things.
Mm-hmm. I think I was a little worried because the third one came out just solely on Origin. And it was when EA was going through this phase where the third Dead Space had this problem. There was so much DLC, it just was very off-putting. So I don't know. But I do have it. I have this game on Origin, Crysis 3.
Bobby, have you put
some time?
Have you put any thought at all into your next upgrade?
No, haven't even thought about it. The only thing that I've thought about upgrading, like I saw that new Lee and Lee desk computer. It was on PC Gamer. They posted it. It's a giant desk where you can adjust the height with the riser, like electronic.
Yeah, sit-stand desk.
Yeah, but you put your computer inside the desk, and there's like a mirror, like a window in it that you can fog or not, so you can see inside or not. Oh. And it just looked really clean, and I thought I love the idea of just not having a computer
bring it up?
Underneath. I'll bring it up.
How much?
That's really cool.
Did you get a prize for it?
It's not out yet. They have two models. One of them can hold two computers. One of them can hold one computer. I don't know why you need two computers. And it's $2,000.
Why not, Bobby? Let's go.
Lian Li desk computer. It's like the DKF something, but the more expensive one is $2,000. The single computer one is $1,500. But for a computer desk, three and a half feet wide, 2.5 feet deep, and you put your computer inside, and it's got buttons that like electronically raise and lower it. Like, that's a pretty good price.
That's a bunch of USB ports. I've put together, so Costco has a desk just like this without the space to put your computer inside of it. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, it'd be pretty easy to put that together.
I think this is the new one here. Yeah, and it's super got USB clean, ports up front, your audio ports, just any of that front audio panel equipment you're used to having on a computer case. Also, it's got fan controls on the outside, like, it's Lian Li. They make absolutely great machines there. So,
whoa. Oh,
a little loud. Sorry about that. Just playing the video here for everybody watching. But
it almost it looks like good. A render, though. It looks like they haven't even
built one. Well, all these videos are. Yeah.
But build one and try to sell it to me.
Oh, my God. Stop that. But, yeah, I don't know. This was the only thing that made me think, like, hey, maybe it's time to get a new desk. But, I don't know, my desk works very well for me.
That's the thing about desks, though. They will last you fucking so long. Mm-hmm. 5, 10 years.
Yeah. All right, what do we got next year? After Crisis Remastered, it is Cards, the World War II card game. This is Cards with a K, if you're looking it up. This is a CCG that was announced a while ago, and I guess it was kind of in beta or something, but now it's been officially released for free on Steam, and it is a card game like Hearthstone, like SWCCG, like Magic the Gathering, but it is based on World War II, where you can play as several of the allies or Axis powers, and yeah, that's just a weird theme for a card game to me.
So,
Emilio, what do you think about this?
You know what's
You're the card guy.
You know what's so funny about this, Ben? Is so when Chad and I first moved in together, we were friends before we moved in together. And then after we moved in together, we lived together on and off for 20 years. So fucking, you know, we hit it off, right? In the first like 2-3 years, we were such card nerds. We're like, let's make a CCG. And he was like, we're like, okay. So we started working on it, blah, blah, blah. We had mock-up cards. When I say mock-up cards, it wasn't things we printed out. We literally just wrote them with pen. Wow. And this went out for months.
Do you still have this anywhere?
No. We never got... we didn't even get to the point where we had a game. Like, we could play a full game. But we had... Anyway, it was a military shooter game. Like a modern day. It wasn't World War II. But it was... I mean, looking at this... Because it looks like you have your front line and you have your artillery in the back, or your back line and or like planes in the back. That's exactly like how we had it. We also had flanking lanes in on the right and left. But man, when I saw this, I was like, oh shit, somebody made the thing we wanted to make. That's my first thought.
The reviews have been positive. I skimmed through them. People were really praising the sound effects, among other things, and the design as well. There was, let's see, when I checked the other day, there was like 2,000 or 3,000 people playing at that time. Right now it is 1,400. So there's people playing this game right now. A game like this relies on a community. So, and it doesn't look pay to win. There's no, I don't think there's any in-game purchases, any microtransactions. I'm not sure what they do about, because a big part of CCGs is the collectability, I feel. You know, that's something that you can miss out on in a digital format. So I don't know if they have anything in place of that. But I don't know. That's a very unique idea.
Games, I mean, CCGs being a video game wasn't even an idea back when we had this. We were going to make a physical card and sell it at like shitty game card shops. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, it's too bad you don't have that... that game you and Chad were working on.
I know. We had like Infantry was like a 1-1 and then whatever.
Mm. Yeah. One of these days I'm going to go into my parents' garage and just dig around and see if I can find like my old baseball cards, possibly my old Star Wars CCG cards. But also I had, it was in a manila folder. I had planned out a game. I've talked about this before, a game that I designed as a kid. It was a fighter game. Where it was called Insecticide.
Oh, yeah.
I've talked about this.
Yeah.
And where it's, you go around the backyard as a bug and you fight other bugs. So like the praying mantis has special moves and the ladybug's got special moves. And yeah, and like all the bugs are the different.
But
it's great. And I got it all laid out, man. I got like the character sheets. I got like the artwork. I'm not much of an artist, but it's probably somewhere in my garage. I'll find it someday. Or my parents' garage.
My buddy and I, as adults, like I was probably 18. He was probably like 20. We fucking wrote up a whole thing that we were going to send to Nintendo about making Super Mario fucking Mario Kart. So we had been playing 64, so whatever the next one after that would have been, 88, whatever. 128. There we go.
Okay. All right. Next up, this is a game I wish existed. Seinfeld Adventure. So this was teased out in the past. I want to say years ago, I remember seeing this, just screenshots and stuff. But there are two guys who work in the gaming industry. They also do stuff in TV and film as well. But they have been kind of working on this unofficial pitch, they call it, for Seinfeld Adventure, which is a point-and-click adventure Seinfeld game. And you know, I've seen this in the past when they've promoted it here and there, but now they're making this huge push on social media to get this out there and get people talking about it and hopefully generate some interest so they can actually make it. Obviously, there's probably some legal hoops they have to jump through, but the work that they've done on it, like all the pixel art and everything that they have planned out, looks incredible. Like, they've got Jerry's apartment. They've got all the little inside jokes from Seinfeld, if you watch that show. They've got Monk's Cafe or Monk's Diner. Yeah, I don't know. I would play the hell out of this game, but sadly, I don't think it will ever get made.
That is so odd. I can see the novelty, but I don't understand the reason.
Yeah, I don't know. And why, like, a point-and-click adventure is not a very popular genre anyway. But if you check out their website, SeinfeldGame.com, they've got all the information, all the answers to all the questions that you may have there. Like, what, you know, is this a joke? Is it a cash grab? And no, they've actually put a lot of thought and effort to it. They've got like a general idea laid out for the game. They talk about why they think a point and click adventure would be good.
Dude, I could get into it. Honestly, I could. It, like, just looking at it, it looks good.
Yeah.
Like, they did a really good job of animating the apartment, and each character is, it looks like the show just animated.
Yeah.
It makes it look animated.
Fantastic. Yeah. They did a stellar job on that.
And new you man. Can see an,
you can see an inventory screen come up. It's got the black and white cookie, the character select screen. You can play as George and Elaine, but you can't play as Kramer. They made that very clear. But yeah, I don't know. I feel like these games, I see stuff like this for game pitches, and I want so bad for them to be true, but if they actually came to fruition, I wonder if I would play them. I went through the same thing when DoomCube creator, or developer at Spooky Doorway Games, you know, Dark Side Detective is the game that he developed. But when he posted that thing about The Thing, he kind of just made a screenshot, basically, a little bit of an it showed his process.
And you were balls deep. You were like, I need this, like, in my life.
Yeah, I wish that was a game. Like, The Thing, as John Carpenter's The Thing, as a point-and-click adventure game. And it's not just, like, the artwork, but they go through the detail of, like, here's the inventory and the things you have in your inventory. He had, like, a fear meter for each character. And it was a very iconic scene from The Thing that he did as well. It was the one where they're trying to find out who the monster is, because the monster can take the form of anybody else. So they're like testing the blood, and it's a very tense scene.
Thing is, they're never going to get the licensing for this.
Yeah, I know. It's a pipe dream. It'll never happen.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Before we move on to the next one, I just put a link in chat. Can we take a look at that real quick?
All right. Let me bring that up here on Steam. I'm not on Steam, on the screen.
So XCOM?
Yeah, that's the XCOM Steam page screen. So if you look all the way to the right, is that not a Buff Emilio?
To the right? I see.
Yeah, that's totally a Buff Emilio.
A Buff Emilio. You mean a Cobber and Carpy of Emilio? No, I saw myself on stream the other day. I was like, I look like a sack of potatoes. That's what's going on. It's heavy on the bottom and light on the top.
Dude, so yeah, that dude has like your exact facial hair, your exact like mean eyebrows. Even when you're happy, you got those mean eyebrows. And then that hair, I mean, your hair, you've cut it short recently, but you used to have that exact hair.
I miss you being on the stream, Minnie.
Oh, well, I miss the stream, man. Yeah. A lot.
All right, next game is Treachery in Beatdown City.
So,
is this a fighter? A 2D fighter? 2D, what am I trying to say?
Brawler beat-em-up.
That's the one, beat-em-up, yeah.
So, interestingly enough, that's exactly what it looks like. And even when you're playing it, that's what it looks like. But when you actually fight, it goes into a Final Fantasy 1, 2, 3 type of, like, but instead of spells, you're doing actual attacks. Combos. Yeah. So
you're like selecting combos. You're not doing the combos, but you're selecting
them. You're selecting them, yeah. So it takes away the twitch response that you need to play these games or the button mashing and replaces it with like thought and how are you going to spend your attack points on this one guy or whatever it is. I really wouldn't have like really thought about this game too much. I like the novel idea, but then I just saw a review by Electronic Playground, EPN. And he was like, man, it's really addictive. Once you start getting into, you know, optimizing your attacks and all of this. And he said he got it really, he was addicted to it. I don't know if I'm going to pull myself all the way to play this, but I thought it was definitely worth bringing up. Like,
there's a good chance I'm going to play it. A very good chance.
Like an 8-bit Streets of Rage, right? But every time you punch somebody, it initiates a turn-based attack phase. What else did he say? If somebody comes out and attacks you and gets like the surprise attack or whatever, there's counters, but the counters, they're not turn-based, but you just got to select the right thing. Like, if he goes with a left hook, you go with a left block or whatever it is. You can't fuck up that point. So I just thought it was a really novel idea. The graphics are pretty rough.
They're 8-bit. They look like Double Dragon, like on the Nintendo.
Yeah. But I love novel ideas, and that's why I wanted to bring this one up.
So you mentioned Streets of Rage. Are you aware that Streets of Rage 4 is coming out very soon?
Yeah, man. I couldn't be less excited. Bobby, I know you were a Streets of Rage guy.
Yeah, you know, I liked a lot of those brawler beat-em-ups back in the day. I find they don't hold up as well now. I've gone back and tried to play Streets of Rage games, Golden Axe, you know, those games. I've even played the new ones from Mother Russia.
Mother Russia Bleeds. We played it together. And let's just say, that's probably as good as that genre is going to get.
That one was all right. Double Dragon Neon, I found very difficult, but I kind of got into. And what kind of pulls me away from these brawler beat-em-ups is you need a controller. And it is all about like those combos and there's reactions and the counters. And that's really difficult for me to do.
Yep.
So yeah. Maybe this type of game that's a little more strategic and slowed down would be more enjoyable.
So there was another one on the Switch currently. I think it's on Steam as well. It's River City Girls, and it's made by the same people who make my current favorite fighting game, Dragon Ball FighterZ. So it's really cool on the combos, like during this the 2D fighting sequences. Like you can do some pretty badass combos.
And it's an homage to River City Ransom, right?
Ransom,
yeah.
Ransom, yeah. They had like 4 or 5 River City games.
Oh, okay. I'm on my third whiskey, guys, so I'm going to be drunk by the end of this thing.
Super. All right, next
up. You drinking, Minnie? I asked you to.
Yeah.
You drinking?
Yeah, I got my tequila orange juice right now.
All right. Well, you're not slurring yet, so.
Tequila and orange juice. All right, last game is Earthbreakers.
Earthbreakers, yeah. So you covered this a while ago, Bobby, and you kind of just like glossed over it because you don't have the experience of the game that I do, which is, what was it? Hold on, it'll come to me. Command & Conquer Renegade.
Oh, yeah, yeah, and okay.
This is made by the same people who made that. Like, if you know the history of, like, Westwood and how they were screwed over with the EA. Is that EA? Yeah. And so they let these devs go.
Over by EA? Wow.
Imagine that. And, right.
But that was the one that the big thing was, like, destructible environments, right?
No, it was destructible buildings, and each building, like, it was, so they kind of compared it to, like, RTS, as an FPS. So how the game would work is like everybody has 4 to 5 buildings depending on the size of the map. They would have a building that makes tanks and stuff, tanks and helicopters, stuff like that. A building that brings an economy, the building that provides energy, a big defensive tower building, and a building that you can change your class in. So the thing is, like, you would you'd be in first person. Like, the game starts out, everybody in first person. Nobody really has any money. They would then, like, go and kill or try to destroy the other team's economy so they don't get money. And every time you kill somebody, you get a little money. Every time you destroy a building, you get a little money. So then you could either buy a character who is better than just the free soldier character, or you can buy a tank so you can everybody can, like, save up money to do a tank rush on their facility and destroy, like, various buildings in the game.
So there's no person running the RTS. It's up to the units themselves to spend the...
Exactly. Okay. There is no commander, right?
Okay.
So everybody is just that first-person guy.
And the resources aren't shared or are shared?
They have the economy building, so that brings in... it would like take your economy a little bit every time. And then they had the harvester. So if you played Command & Conquer, you know that harvester would go in and break up that Tiberium and then bring the Tiberium back. And then when the Tiberium harvester gets back to the facility, then you get a shit ton of money. But, you know, the enemy team could destroy that harvester. So if you did that early game, it was really good because that would, like, just screw up their entire economy.
Oh, wow. So it's kind of like it would incentivize you to protect the harvester.
Protect or attack the harvester, yeah.
But that's not a mission that is assigned to you. That's just something you should do on your own.
The harvester has a lot of armor, has absolutely no offensive abilities, but has a shit ton of armor, so it would take, like, a lot to destroy harvester.
Super interesting, man. So, for those not seeing it, it looks like a almost like Borderlands as far as, like, cel-shaded graphics. It's a first-person shooter, but it has all this extra layering on top of it. So that's pretty interesting.
Yeah, I am really excited for this. There is 100% chance I'm going to be playing this when this game drops. There was a like a fan remake that was in production for a very long time. Now, this game was a lot more popular in the UK, and I played it, but I could only get UK servers. Like, nobody in America really played this game, but I absolutely adored it. So it was kind of rough. The game actually itself didn't last long, the fan remake, because I don't know exactly why. Maybe just hype died down, but, like, I only remember getting a few games in before the game died.
And, you know, there was a language barrier. It's hard to speak or read whatever they speak over there, right?
Well, no, it was UK, so no, Britain, right. Yeah. British English.
No, like, so completely different from what we speak, right? I wanted to think, what do you think of Valorant?
I
kind of felt like, man, that would be your jam for some reason.
Yeah, I mean, it would be. I just don't play shooters anymore. But you're totally right. Like, I've been looking at it, I was like, man, that game looks awesome. It has, like, Counter-Strike shooting physics with, like, kind of underpowered Overwatch powers.
Yeah, yeah. It's funny because I guess the Riot CEO said, oh, you can't kill people with power, so, like, nobody can abuse them. And then there's a montage of this guy getting, like, 250 kills with one of the abilities. I don't know which one it is, apparently one of them you can kill with. But, yeah.
But that is true. Like, the majority of the abilities are defensive.
Yeah, yeah.
So you would have to rely on gunplay.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's probably smart when it comes to balancing.
Yeah,
it's learning easier from what Overwatch did. But yeah, Earthbreakers, no price on this yet. No release date either. Just says 2020. And yeah, that's Petroglyph, the guys that made Conan Unconquered, which somebody needs to buy so they can play with me.
It kind of feels like fucking the Sony game that's like this, PlanetSide. That's what it feels like to me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah,
PlanetSide. I get that vibe.
The coolest feeling, though, I have to say, in this game is, well, there's two really good feelings. So there was, like, the advanced engineer, which costs a little bit more money. But if you were able, through various means, to get into the enemy base undetected, the advanced engineer could destroy an entire building on his own. But it would take time because you need the requirement was, like, you had to throw a timed mine onto, like, a certain spot, and that would take, like, 45 seconds. So you had to wait there and just like not be seen for 45 seconds, which was a difficult task in and of itself. And then you had to like throw, once that detonated, throw the rest of your ammunition onto this point and just destroy it. That was like just being able to take it out yourself with being really stealthy, extremely difficult. One of the best feelings in this game. Another one was when you and all your buddies would get like the big ass tanks and just rush down all the enemies, and it was just too big to react to. Man, those two memories of that game. I love it.
You got me excited about this game, man.
Awesome. What's that?
You got me excited about this game.
Dude, I'll let you know when it comes out, and, cool. and you'll join me.
Sounds good.
All right. Time to talk about some games that we have been playing, the highlights section. So we should probably start with Songs of Six. If you checked out, when was it? Friday. Friday interviews are back, by the way. And last Friday, we had the developer of Songs of Six joining Christian to talk about this game. They got a Kickstarter going on right now. I believe Christian is on the line with us, or should be saying Sniper here. Hello, hello?
Call me. Hello, hello.
There he is.
Hey, man. Oh, man, it's going good. Man, that Nielsen guy, what an idiot, right?
Yeah, totally, man.
Oh, man.
He was.
Who believe? Yeah, that bit's not winning any awards. But so, yeah, the Songs of Six interview, I think, went good. The cool part was that guy went on a balcony to record it with me. It was like 9 p.m. in Sweden and quarantine, so like his whole family's there, whatever. They haven't left for a couple weeks. And it was like minus 10 outside. And after the interview ended, he was like, dude, I'm fucking freezing. Can I leave? Are we done?
Oh, man. In Sweden?
In Sweden, dude. Oh, even colder in Canada. Can you believe that shit?
Dude, oh, can you go on your balcony? Because you have a lot of background noise.
I could, but it'd be cold, so I'm not going to.
Oh, son of a bitch.
I'm going to brave the
worst Canadian ever.
Canadian weather.
Yeah, dude, it's terrible, but... anyways, the Songs of Six game, I don't know. Everyone heard the interview. Did you guys end up checking it out?
I played a little bit of it.
I have not.
So I downloaded the demo, which you can get for free if you just, I don't know, you just Google it. It's on the website.
Song of Six with a Y?
Yep. S-Y-X.
Yep.
Yep. And I never played Dwarf Fortress, so I don't really have anything to compare this to, but right away I understood the game. Maybe it's because I've been playing so much of that school simulator that I'll talk about later, but right away I was like, okay, I need to build things, I need to gather resources, I need to create this environment. They even had a few saves loaded up if you wanted to see what a game looks like that's, or what a city looks like fully developed, or if you want to simulate one of the battles, which is also a part of this game, the combat.
Okay, so I've not heard anything about this, and I'm just looking at what the Steam page is showing me. So it looks like Factorio with armies.
It's more, nothing like Factorio, yeah, I don't think. About, like,
just the way it looks.
Rimworld, so. I guess, would be the closest thing.
I don't know. I feel like we're trying to reach for all these different games we can compare it to, but sometimes...
You tell us, Sniper.
Yeah,
how much time do you have in?
I think I've got about 30 hours now. I defeated the second time the barbarian comes and tries to steal all your shit, which is pretty difficult. I don't think it's very much like Factorio, because Factorio is about like building assembly lines and making sure your production feeds into other production like 10 times. It's just like a head scratcher. This one's like a lot more simple in that respect. And it's not so much about like feeding different resources into each other as it is just expanding your village and making it bigger and more resistant to like the barbarian attacks.
Mm-hmm. Now you said that barbarian attacks. So there are, I want to say like plot points to this game. Like there's things that happen that you need to prepare for. It's not just like a straight up city builder where you just kind of expand and expand and expand. There's other objectives to it.
Yeah. So the game's about 50 to 60% completed right now. So the only plot point right now is those barbarian invasions. But later he was saying in the interview that there's going to be like nobles that come up and try to steal power from you. So there's going to be like different things throughout the game to keep you on your toes. And in city builders, usually that doesn't happen. I mean, if you're talking about like City Skylines and shit like that.
Okay. Now, I will say, when I played this game, what really stood out to me was the soundtrack. It was almost, the soundtrack was really good, and it almost was like too good for the visuals. The visuals are very simple, very plain. And the soundtrack is, I think I read a little bit on his Kickstarter page that he had hired some very talented singer before she had gotten very famous or something to that effect, and got her to do the soundtrack for this game. And it sounds amazing.
So it's crazy because Song of Six is an 8-bit game. It looks, you know, a little bit like from the last decade or so, but Ariana Grande actually did the soundtrack, and it's incredible.
Yeah, it's totally, yeah. It's so poppy. It's a weird mashing, but I feel like it works sometimes. Just
hey, she had to get her first 1 million followers somewhere, right?
Exactly. Songs of Six City Builder Players. That is Ariana Grande's core fan group. That's what everything grew from. But yeah, I'm excited because when I interviewed him, he was 10K away. And before the interview, he was kind of mentioning he wasn't worried. I don't know. He said it was like a nail biter. The Kickstarter's like, he didn't know which way it was going to go. Now there's only $5,000 left in the Kickstarter, and he has like 19 days to go. So I think it's definitely going to be funded. So that's good news. And means
the DLG bump.
Yeah, dude, the DLG bump. DLG / Ariana Grande. I don't know who did more work, but probably us.
Well, I should say the name of the singer. It's Jacinka. I'm probably pronouncing that wrong, but I'll play a little bit of the music that he has linked on the Kickstarter page.
She is playing an instrument straight out of, I don't know, fucking some other planet. I've never seen this thing.
Yeah, I'm not sure what that is. It's like a violin.
It's like guitar, violin.
I'm going to call it the harpsichord.
I think that's already a thing.
But it's a very Lord of the Rings sound, right? Like it fits the theme of the game.
So, actually, you guys had me completely convinced that Ariana Grande actually did the soundtrack to this. I was like, holy shit.
Nobody knows we were joking on this podcast. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. Like, we made so many jokes, and then people were like, I thought you were serious.
Like, for everyone listening, Ariana Grande definitely did the music for this. But yeah, Bobby, you played the game, so I feel like you can really judge someone on how they made their shitters. How many latrines did you make for your people in the beginning of the game?
Not enough, I'm assuming.
So, of course, you start out with only 10 people. You know, how many latrines do they need? But I don't know. My first playthrough, of course, I messed up terribly, and then I had to restart and then started doing it the correct way and started building things in the correct order. I had a little trouble with the tutorial. I felt like it wasn't really tutorializing me enough. So I found it a little difficult to figure out what exactly I was supposed to do and what does what and how the different things operate. And that whole top-down view was it makes things look a little different, so you kind of have to get used to that. But yeah, I didn't make too many bathrooms. I was more concerned with the bedrooms.
Coming from somebody who was in the military, latrines are not only used for shitting. They have various uses, and more than enough is never enough.
Unless you have to clean them.
So you're saying furiously masturbating in the latrine, is that?
Yeah, I mean, that, and like there's more. Like sometimes you just need to go in there and just get away from everybody. Sometimes you need to go in there, like as you said, just to jerk one off. Sometimes you just want to kick some shit, so you just kick some shit. It's just a lot of shit you can do in a latrine when nobody's looking. I mean, it's like the only place you can go where somebody's not watching you. So
getting that me time in the latrine.
Like, bedrooms in this game are just a waste of resources, so I only made latrines. And I'm kind of happy that my people had somewhere nice to go, as you're saying, right? Just to have a little quiet time and
exactly, and
just relax, yeah. So if you zoom in on the toilets, they're the only original sound in the game. You can hear people shitting. I thought that was a nice touch.
nice.
And yeah, that's it for Songs of Six.
All right, cool.
One last question. In the screenshots when they're going by, there's a dark area, and it looks like everything's lit by torches. Is that caves that you're digging through, or a mountain?
Yeah, so you can start building. Well, you have to start building your city outside of a mountain, but eventually you can dig into the mountain, and that's when it kind of feels more like Dwarf Fortress, because that's that entire game digging in mountains. But yeah, you can dig in the mountain and there's special resources and enemies in there for you. So that's it's kind of a risk reward thing.
Yeah. Are you going to continue to play it? Or are you
of course.
Wait till it's done.
Yeah, I'm definitely like I backed the Kickstarter and like my town is at 1,000 individuals now. And he was talking about how the game's always on a knife's edge so you can lose it anytime. And I kind of feel that now just because I have so much people. If I ever had a shortage of anything, even something like tools, if I don't have tools, I can't get into the mine. If I can't get into the mine, I can't get any more ore because I used all my ore. If I don't have any ore, I can't like heat my furnaces. If I can't heat my furnaces, my people start to die. So,
wow.
Did you tell
Cyber? This is so he was saying like it always balances on knife edge, and you've been playing this game for about 30 hours. Does that mean like one mistake that you don't see can just destroy that 30 hours and you have to start all over?
Well, you have save points. It's not like Iron Man mode or something in other games where you don't have the save points. I mean, it's still a technical build, so I have been saving a lot because sometimes there's bugs that destroy you. But if you do make a mistake, yeah, your empire can fall pretty quickly, which so, I kind of like because, yeah, I'm tired of playing sim games where you just get 30 or 40 hours in and you're basically undefeated. There's just nothing in the game that challenges you anymore.
Hmm. All right.
Cool, man. Thanks for the review.
All right.
Yep.
I call back as a third character.
All right. Well, in that same vein, I played a sim game this week as well. This was Academia School Simulator, a school simulation game because I can't be at work. And I can't tell you.
You missed it so much. Yeah. You had to
do it. Well, full disclosure here. This copy was sent to us by the developer himself who actually reached out to us for some promotion. And I said, yeah, sure, I'll play it. I like sim games. And I've been looking for a sim game to get into. I tried loading up City Skylines, and for some reason, it just did not click. I got 5 minutes into it. I'm like, nope, not having this.
Wow, dude.
Yeah, and I liked that game back in the day.
Oh, you liked it the first time around.
The first time I played it.
Gotcha.
But somehow going back to it, I was not in the mood for it, even though I've been trying to find a good sim game. And this one was good. It kind of looked like Prison Architect, which I enjoyed back in 2013. And except it takes place in a school. And I think that's the comparison a lot of people are going to draw immediately to it just because visually it looks like it. But, you know, there are a lot of differences. They're both sim games. But this one, you know, you're building a school and you're also competing against other schools. You're trying to rise in rank by being more prestigious than the other ones, as well as do all the other things like balance your budget, have the students get good grades. There's a little bit about
athletics, right? I would imagine that's a big thing.
That's not a huge factor in the game. Athletics. I mean, you can't build basketball courts, tracks, and things. This is a high school, by the way.
Oh, high school. Okay.
Yeah, it's a high school, and it seems kind of like a private school to me. But I really enjoyed it. If you have been on Discord, you've seen me playing this constantly. In just 1 week, I've put over 20 hours into this game, which is extremely rare. And so obviously I've been enjoying it, and I can't tell you how many people have messaged me about it, like, you know,
what
like,
the fuck are you playing?
Yeah,
I saw that earlier today.
Yeah, like, what are you playing, like a school simulator? Because, you know, I work at a school, and obviously right now I'm not there because of what's going on. But you know, I probably even sold a copy of this game too, because someone was telling me they were checking it out and on the fence about it. And I said, you should definitely get it. Like, it's in early access. It needs some polish. There's a few little bugs. Sometimes one of my workers or my janitors will like get stuck somewhere, or they won't build something. If I give them a bunch of build commands, the one thing won't get built and I'll have to delete it and reassign the command.
That's just having Mexican janitors, man. They get lost. They smoke weed in corners. It happens.
Yeah. It's one thing that I like, the minor complaints that I have are, number one, you can expand the area. Cause I'm at the point now where I built my school to the maximum. I had to buy more land. And when you buy more land, you can buy land to the right of you and above you. But I was so particular, as I am in all sim games, about building everything symmetrical. So now that I have to build out to the right, I'm like, this mess is ruined. Everything's ruined.
You're like Bridezilla of principle.
Yeah, it ruins my symmetry. It's totally bugging me. So I wish you could like buy a patch of land to the right, buy a patch of land to the left, buy one above you.
It's weird. That's a weird move, right?
Yeah, just to go out to the right. Maybe not below.
So you can't go left or down?
Yeah. Yeah, it does seem strange. But you know, that's like a weird neurotic thing that I don't think is a serious issue.
No, it needs to be addressed right now.
Unplayable.
But what I really wish they would change is the random event. So every now and then a random event will pop up, and that can be really fun. A lot of games do this. Random event pops up, you roll the dice, something good or something bad could happen. But in this case, it always seems to be bad. I've tried them maybe like five or 10 times.
That's how SimCity is, right? Tornadoes, earthquakes.
Yeah, but this is like, if you don't take the random event, you take a small hit to your prestige, very small. But anytime I do the event, a lot of times it's like, you know, these guys are going to go on strike, or this guy's going to quit. They are fun though. And like, it adds a little bit of story to it. One of them was you have a teacher who is encouraging students to question authority. I'm like, okay, we got a little Dead Poet Society going on here. All right. That's cool. But then like the options, like you can do this or you can do that. I'm like, both of these are horrible choices. And I could have just lost 5 prestige if I ignored this event. So I've just been ignoring every single random event, and that sucks. I feel like I'm missing out on,
wait, why are you ignoring them? I miss.
Because it's detrimental to go through them.
Because every time that it gives me a random event, it gives me options on how to handle the situation.
Either way is bad.
Either way seems bad for me, yeah.
I see.
So I don't know. But I feel like I'm missing out. I want to see what these random events are, but I also want to have that thrill of, ooh, maybe this could be good. You know,
what'd you
like
do about the outbreak of chlamydia that your students were having?
Oh, well, that hasn't happened yet. And that's probably going to be a nursing problem.
But that sounds like Frostpunk, man. Like, everything happens just is
it's all bad. Yeah, everything's bad, right? The lesser of two evils every time.
Exactly.
You know, I want to say, maybe it's just the top-down view of this game, or maybe it's just, I don't know, but the game doesn't seem too complex. Like, it wasn't off-putting at the beginning. They kind of guide you through the game by giving you these goals. Your to-do list, and it says like, you know, build this and here's a grant to do it. We'll give you money up front so you can build this, and then once you build it, hire these people and put these objects in there, and boom, now you have like a cafeteria or something. So it kind of tutorializes you by doing that, but also helps you correctly manage your budget and just, you know, go through the game correctly. Maybe around the 10-hour mark, I got to the place where I could really be like, all right, now I want to like design stuff, spruce things up, put a little planner box over there, you know, get creative with it. But for the first part of this game, you're really just trying to win. You're really just trying to balance the budget.
Bobby, what have you been doing for 30 hours, bro?
Killing it, man. Like my
killing the game.
I've unlocked most of the tree. I'm on top of the discipline, like no discipline problems.
That's exactly how I see you, as being like a superintendent or a dean. Like, that's exactly how I see you.
I see him putting this on his resume when he's moving up at work.
It does, in weird ways, it does feel like you are dealing with a lot of the problems that like the administration out of school would be dealing with. Some of them are a little hyper. You know, I see this mistake in movies all the time. People always make the mistake of thinking like a principal is hiring and firing power. No. Well, I mean, not in public schools. Private schools, things might be a little different, but still probably not. But there is a little bit of that. But for the most part, I'm like, yeah, dude, I got to balance the budget. I also want to make sure that the students are getting a good education. Class size is a real big issue. All right. That's like, I'm doing a great job at that, probably from my years of working in the education industry. If you call it an industry.
Almost like, I don't know, you're hacking, dude, in a way.
Yeah, I'm totally cheating. Like, I know how to do this. And you know, I'm still having fun with this game as far as I am into it. But here's the thing. Well, before I get into that, I want to talk about one other thing you can do in this game that I think a lot of Sims do, but I think this one does really well. And that's the routes and linking. So you can have your janitors walk a certain route, and anything that they come across, they'll fix within that route. So, you know, I have to constantly, whenever I build a new area, I got to get a new janitor and assign him there, or tell another janitor, guess what, dude, like you got more work to do, which does happen a lot in schools. But also the linking. So I build four cafeterias. All right, these classrooms are going to that cafeteria. These ones are going to that. So you're really managing as well as building. And I like that aspect of it. But playing this game and just kind of just speaking on sim games in general, I've been really looking for one to play, and I've gotten really hooked on this one, but I kind of have this feeling, like this suspicion about sim games. I'm like, are these games really fun? Or are they just doling out the dopamine in small increments and just stringing me along? Because I put so many hours into this and I'm having a good time, but at the same time, I feel like I'm constantly waiting for that day to finish. The next day starts and then more money comes in and then I can do more stuff. Like I mean,
compare that to any game, dude. Aren't all games dopamine factories in a certain way?
Yeah, but the way that they give it to you
is
different. You know, like this game, it kind of feels like almost Civ in a way, where it's like that one more turn thing, you know, like.
I'm going to put it to you this way, guys. Bobby didn't put nearly 30 hours into Doom Eternal, which he had been talking about for 2 years.
Yeah. But, you know, I feel like I'm playing.
He put 6 hours into it.
But that's the thing. That's my whole point. I don't think time spent is a way to value a sim game. I don't think you can say, like, I spent 20 hours in this game, therefore it's good. I don't think that works for a sim game, because a sim game, you're going to spend 20 hours.
That's just the type of
game. So I don't know. But even aside from that, I can recommend this game.
Which is why I'm pulling away from They Are Billions, because it's great.
Mm-hmm. That game is hard as dicks, bro. But
fuck, it takes so long. Well, I'm playing on, dude. So when you start the game, you can select a difficulty level, right? I put on easy. Every level you go into, you could select the difficulty. Within easy level, I select easy. So double easy. And I'm still taking an hour and a half per map. And failing sometimes.
Yeah, I definitely see that, dude. I kind of gave up on that game because, I was doing the same thing. I was like, what? I'm not getting anywhere.
Have you
this.
Played the campaign?
I did when it first released, so like maybe a year ago. Okay. But no,
yeah,
not
it's
really
still
much.
Hard as dick, dude. One zombie tore down my shit after 2.5 hours.
That's the worst thing, dude. One zombie hits like one tent.
Not a special
and
guy.
Just spreads out,
dude.
More.
One retard zombie. All right. We're gonna cut that. One regular zombie just happened to beat down the right tree, walked in, and just it was all over, man.
That's I can't imagine how frustrating that.
Oh,
was,
it was so frustrating. Because that game doesn't let you fucking quick save like this game. So I'm guessing yours is much more symmetrical, Bobby. Your school.
Yeah, very symmetrical, but not anymore because I just bought that first patch of land. But I'm really trying to... I feel like I'm getting pretty far into the game, but like as far into the game as I get, now it takes even longer to make that next step. So there's a lot of downtime where I'm at, but I got to go through these videos and screenshots that they have on their Steam page. Cause I'm getting some ideas on how to lay out classrooms and things.
So while I'm talking about They Are Billions, you're analyzing and you're learning over here.
Yeah. Just seeing how they set up their bathrooms here.
Oh, interesting.
And their classrooms like that. They got their chairs just packed like right next to each other.
Yeah, they do. Bobby, let's move on.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't have more
He's
than 17.
So intrigued.
But the fun part about this game is really just being creative and designing things how you want them to, and just having them look and operate the way that you want them to. So I don't know. I am enjoying it. This game's $20. Is that right? Yeah, $20 on Steam.
I'm gonna give them a pro tip. When you guys make your first DLC, if you can make like a Hogwarts type thing, like make it a magical school, and then all the other complexities come with that.
That seems like a lot of work.
You can have that
maybe
for
as
free.
A DLC. Yeah,
you can have that for free. Guys.
I mean, you can when you start your school. You pick all these different things here. You pick the name of it, the motto, and like the colors and the way the students look and all that stuff.
What is the name of your school?
I went with one of the default names, so it's called Fitzgerald Valley. But the first one, my first attempt, which of course didn't work, was Pizza Academy, because on your coat of arms here, you can pick pictures, and one of them was pizza. So had to do it for the screenshot collection.
Was it four pizzas?
Nice. Yeah, and what was your motto with that pizza school?
Pepperoni and pineapple.
That's blasphemous, man.
I don't know why people don't like pineapple on. Oh, you know, another thing, too, they show on this screenshot. I'm guessing other things do this too, but they have blueprints. So you can actually lay out what you want to do before you actually do it, which is great because sometimes you're in the middle of laying it out and you find out something's one square off and then you have to start it all over again. So I do like the blueprints thing. That's a nice touch, but I think, you know, that's been done before, right? I mean, this game, I don't think it treads any new ground, but it does it all very well. Like you're going to get hours out of this game if you pick it up. So I can recommend it.
Good.
Awesome.
All right. Let's talk about something completely different. Ape Out.
Yeah, man.
Emilio, I was watching you play this game. This game just looks like a fun romp.
Dude, I don't know how to say it. $4.50, dude, right now. So this is...
Is it?
Yeah. Or...
$6.74.
I was way off. I don't know where. Anyway. Yeah, Devolver Digital, which is my favorite publisher, even though I don't know what publishers do. It is my... because I would say 95% of the games that I've purchased from them that they publish, I like. So whoever their talent scout is or however that all works, man, I'm really, really behind whatever they pick up. I think maybe one game I didn't like. But so I almost bought this from just like I bought it thinking there's no way I'm going to like this from screenshots. And then I spent the money because it's on sale and it's Devolver Digital. And I liked it so much more than I thought I was going to like it. It's a 10 out of 10 on Steam. Overwhelmingly positive. It is, I mean, the closest thing Bobby kind of... I didn't know how to describe it until Bobby said it's kind of like Hotline Miami. I guess that's the closest thing you could say to it. But really, it's a super stylized version of that. So you're looking down. It's a top-down action game where you play a gorilla busting out of a zoo. But that doesn't... It doesn't matter. None of that matters. You could be a tank busting out of a base... What really matters about this game is the way it looks and the way it sounds. So the way it looks is, imagine I Dream of Jeannie, the beginning of that show. I know I'm dating myself here. If that was a game. Like, it's that 70s swanky, like... Pulp Fiction used this a lot, or Tarantino uses this look a lot. It's like 70s. It's almost like you're playing a game within a... who's a guy that did Campbell's Soup thing, Bobby?
Campbell's Soup?
Campbell's Soup.
Painting. I got nothing.
Andy Warhol?
Andy Warhol.
Okay.
It's like you're playing a video game inside of Andy Warhol. So the visuals are stunning.
Inside of Andy Warhol.
Yeah, I don't know how to fucking explain this game.
Well, one thing I noticed was the perspective. So as you were saying, it is top down. But the cool thing is like your visual perspective, which is like if your character is a light bulb, you can only see what that light touches. So you can't see anything beyond like on the other side of a pillar or something. Even if you can see, like your camera can see on the other side of the pillar, it's all just masked by shadows because your character cannot see beyond that pillar. So you can't see beyond that pillar.
Yeah, and that's been done a lot where like if you move your perspective and you can see light creeping around a corner. That's been done a lot. But for some reason, the walls in this perspective are like 20, 25 feet tall. So it accentuates.
So that. Hard to explain, but
it's so it's hard. You gotta just check it out. It's fucking $7, and the music. I gotta talk about the music. So there's a jazzy jungle thing going on, right? But every time you kill somebody, it's a top hat. It's like, right. If you kill three people at once, it's a crescendo. If somebody's on fire, runs into a wall and explodes, it's... And it, like all of that is happening during a baseline where all of those things are acceptable at any point. Does that make sense? Like musically. So there's like a... And it just goes on and on. And holy shit. Like, when I was playing this, I was thinking, this is a game of the year contender. That's how much I enjoyed this game. Like,
Did you just start playing this game today?
Yeah, and I beat it. So it
really?
Was,
okay.
It was 2 or 3 hours long. At the very end, after the, you know, thank you for playing Ape Out, all that stuff, there was a break in. So it's like an epilogue or whatever, and you play the levels in reverse, but the bad guys are much harder. So there's an epilogue. There's just a ton of stuff. It doesn't look the same throughout the whole game. There's levels where there's no power, so there's no light, right? So the only thing you can see is the walls and their flashlights. There's flashbangs. You can't do any of these things. One of the greatest things about this game is how simple it is. There's WASD, grab a bad guy or punch a bad guy, and that's it. But out of that becomes so much complexity. Oh man, just check it out, man. If you can't afford $7, let me know. I'll try to send you $7. That's how good this game
is. Let's see
if
we can play a little bit of the audio here. I don't know if the Steam page has it. But yeah, it's very Birdman. A lot of percussion. All right. He's about to break out. It's very chaotic percussion.
Yep. And that's the very beginning of the game. That's level one. As you get into the more there's a military base you have to get out of, and that's a drum line, just straight out of like the movie drum line, just like this constant, very high beat, but you're adding like, oh man, you got to play it. It's super, super, super good. It's just fun throughout the whole thing. Everybody that stopped by my stream was just like, what is this? How cool is this? Why does it look so cool? How haven't I heard of this? So, yeah. Ape Out.
You know, one thing I'm taking from this is, like, a reason that you may like this so much is I remember a listener question a long time ago, maybe like a year, and it was like, if you could be any animal, what would it be? And yours was silverback gorilla.
God damn right. God damn it.
This game is exactly what you're playing. You're playing a big-ass fucking gorilla just smashing his way through everybody.
It's fun. For sure. And last thing is Jam Crofts. Yeah, this is just one of our most common listener questions is people asking us what is our favorite, like some of our favorite YouTubers. And this is new to me, but I guess it's so funny how it came. I was like, Minnie, do you want to be on the show? You're like, yeah. And I was like, hey, just randomly. I was like, I've been watching this guy. He's like, dude, this is the reason I bought Dragon Ball Z is this guy on YouTube. It's JM Crofts, all lowercase. And he does fighting games, 2D fighting games is his thing. He has a true...
So, yeah, JM Crofts, go ahead.
Go ahead. The way I found him was he does a small series. He only has like 5 of them. And it's called like Great Moments in Video Game History. Fighting Game History. And he just goes over like these battles, like there's those like moment 34 where Chun-Li
moment 37 where it was Chun-Li against Ken.
Yeah. And so that's the most famous one ever. But he's like, let me show you some other shit that happened that's really important. And not only does he tell you why it's important, he tells you like who this guy is, why this moment's important, and then he plays it play by play, but his enthusiasm is palpable. Like, you really know, that's what's really good about it, is because you know that he's into it. Like, he's giggling to himself watching this video for the 10th time.
Yeah,
because you know he was doing the editing and it's not fake at all. So I thought that was good. But you started watching Dragon Ball Z videos, right?
Yeah, I started watching when Dragon Ball Z first came out. Well, about a few months after it came out, and I was like, what's this game about? So I found out JM Crofts channel, and I just started watching it. I was like, okay, so this is what the game is about. And then I kept watching his videos, because what stood out to me was how positive a person he is. Like, he's always happy, giggling. Like, if even if he loses, he's like, man, that guy was really good. He did some things that I didn't know you could do. And it was just like there's like very little negativity in his channel. So that's kind of what drew me to him. Is like, he takes everything in stride, whether it be good or bad. It's really awesome to watch him play. And he's kind of a jack of all trades. Like, he has that charisma. He's really good at fighting games. Like, he's a tournament level fighter. He's not like world famous. He's not going to win any world championships, but he can hold his own.
Yeah, I saw that one of his things was like Road to Evo, which sounds like he was trying to get into Evo, which is cool to watch it from the, you know, the person that's trying to get into it perspective. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and he covers like all fighting games. Like, he's been playing fighting games for like decades. And he's really knowledgeable in all, pretty much, like, he's really loves all those Japanese 2D anime fighters. And he's just...
And not just that, guys. Like, when I say I've been playing, like, 2D fighters, I played them years ago. So I don't know a lot of the terminology and stuff. And he breaks it all down. Like, he doesn't mind. It's almost like Joe Rogan in the UFC. He'll explain the same thing 700 times because... there's always a new person listening, right? So he'll be like, this is what a switch up is, and this is what a pop up is, and this is what and all the acronyms that there are. And it just breaks it down. Anyway, I thought he was really good at this.
Yeah, he's a really good guy, and he's really knowledgeable. Like, even within the 2D anime fighting circles, like, he's known as just very knowledgeable in like all the professional players who played what and how they play, their play styles, and who they are, where they came from. And he has another segment called JMperty, like Jeopardy, where he hosts like a Jeopardy show all about 2D fighters, and he brings in professional level players to come in and play this Jeopardy of 2D anime fighters.
Yeah, you linked me one of those, but I haven't watched it yet. I'll check it out later.
But it's a good one, man.
I'm a fan, and I'm glad people are out there doing this kind of stuff. I got to pee so bad, I gotta get out of here. I'll be right back.
Okay.
All right. God's Trigger. Is that a game you've been playing, Mini?
No, I have no idea what this is. Right. So, Emilio. What I have been playing, though, is... what I did play was Black Mesa. Have you played this one? It's the remake of Half-Life?
Oh, yeah.
Have you beaten it?
Yeah. So, I've got a long history with Black Mesa here. I think I played it a year or two after it was on Steam in its unfinished form.
Yeah, so did I.
Then I waited until December before the game officially came out 1.0, but right when they had completed it in beta, so like the update before the release, I played it. I actually picked up where I left off when you enter Zen, and played it all the way through to the end, and I was very impressed with this game. I felt they changed quite a bit near the ending.
They definitely did. Like, Zen was completely different.
Yeah, completely different. And I was okay with it. Like, I totally respected the new direction. It can be a little tricky when you tamper with something as iconic as Half-Life. You know, and you try to remaster or reboot something, it's always like, what do you change? What do you not change? Those are tough decisions. And they made some pretty bold moves at the end there, but I supported it. And I think it was a fantastic game. And probably, like, even if you like play Half-Life, if you want to play Half-Life with the updates or anything, I still recommend playing Black Mesa. I think it's the best Half-Life experience you can get.
It definitely is. Have you already talked about Black Mesa since it's been released?
Not since after it's been released. The last time I talked about it was December.
So have you played it? What was the last time you like played through it?
When I played through it?
Yeah.
Yeah, just December. When they had that update right before the release, the last update.
I didn't play back then, but did they have the amazing music that they have now in that game?
Oh, yeah, that music was there.
That music was insane. Like, I did not expect the Half-Life game to have such amazing music. Yeah. I was blown away by the music alone in this game.
My favorite part, possible spoiler here, so, you know, tune out, cover your ears for like 10 seconds.
Spoiler of a 20-year-old game, go ahead.
I mean, Black Mesa is not 20 years old, though.
Half-Life, I mean, right?
Yeah, Half-Life, but this is specifically to Black Mesa. At the end, when you are ascending on that platform, that circular platform, you go up a level, you fight some enemies, you go up again, and the music that goes along with it, I thought that was just a really powerful experience right there. Like that.
No, it definitely was, because you're like fighting some really powerful enemies, but you also have like the most powerful weapon, which was something they did in Half-Life 2 as well. So it made you feel like a badass.
Yeah.
Because you're facing like these onslaughts of these of those psychic dudes.
Yeah, but little brain guys.
You're also a badass yourself. Yeah.
Yeah.
And what I really liked about this is like I didn't know if this was lore in Half-Life 1 until Half-Life 2 came out, but was that the Vortigaunts were being controlled. And I didn't know that in Half-Life 1, even though I played through Half-Life 1 completely. Like, maybe I missed that lore, or maybe they didn't tell it at all, but I had no idea.
Right, dude. I believe the Vortigaunts were running from the, what is it? What are they called? The guys who...
The brain guys, I don't know.
No, the guys who build the cathedral and all that. That's called the...
I can't remember.
Jeez. Anyway, the way I remember...
The Combine.
Oh, yeah.
The way I remember it is they were running from them and they landed on Earth trying to get away from the Combine. But
okay,
maybe you're right. Mm-hmm. I mean, you played this, so...
Well, that crab fight with the crab with the nutsack, that was a great fight, too.
And yeah, that's also what's really cool about this game is, well, while you're on Earth... like everything that you remember about Half-Life 1, all the memorable moments are in here in Earth. But when you go to Zen, like it completely changes, but it changes for the better. Like there's nothing that really stood out to me when I played this in what, like 98, that I remember about Zen. I remember all the moments in Earth, but nothing really about Zen stood out to me. But Zen in this game, like they made Zen just awesome, but they did bring that ball crab fight back, which was even better in this. In this run through,
maybe you can tell me because I kind of forgot. In the original Half-Life, do you go to Zen just for a little bit and then you
come you do. Back? You come back.
You come back to Earth. Yeah. And see, in this one, you don't. Like, you finish it out in Zen.
Yeah. It's like half the game is on Earth, half of it's in Zen. The other one was like you go to Zen for maybe an hour or two and then you come back and then you finish the game in Zen later.
I figured I didn't have much of the game left to go. I spent another 4 or 5 hours once I started Zen.
I kind of feel like. That's why there was a delay. There must have been a disagreement, or maybe it's just like, all right.
Well, it was a lot of work. And they talked about it. I mentioned this, I can't remember when, but they said, like, everything up until this point has been really easy. We've just kind of been building off of, like, what Half-Life already has done. But right down to, like, the shapes of all the objects we have to, like, completely redo everything. Everything is very squared off and vertical. Right. Then once you get to Zen, it's a lot of non-Euclidean geometry, and that just totally threw a wrench in what they were trying to do, and it was a lot for them to work to. Plus, it's a ton of content. But, so I totally understand how I played this in 2017, and, like, they finished at Zen, and then years later, they finally get through all of this. I understand why it took years now.
That was their prerogative to take that far. Like, okay, so they got to the part that was tough, but then they expanded by hours of gameplay.
Yeah.
They didn't have to do that.
No, but I'm glad that they did because I think that's what really makes this stand out, not just as... They call it in their description a reimagining, a fan-made reimagining. And that's what really makes this game stand out. It's not just a remaster. It's not just Half-Life with better textures. Like, this is a new experience, and I feel like it is spiritually in line with Half-Life. So, you know, they didn't change too much, or they didn't, like, discredit Half-Life in any way. It almost feels like what if Valve could make Half-Life, but now, you know?
Yeah, that's exactly how I felt the entire thing. It was like as if Valve made this.
Yeah, if they had the technology now. So I think this is just a fantastic game. This is up there with like one of the best games of the decade, I think.
Oh, and it's pretty cheap. I think it's like $20.
How much is it? Let's see. $20, yeah. And that is
It'll take like 15 hours probably. For a first playthrough,
you're getting a AAA game here for that price. Like graphically, maybe it's still a little like it's not Call of Duty graphics, but this is like a solid
it's the Source engine, like the unmodified Source engine. So I mean, it looks great, but it's not like the best.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right, Black Mesa, still a fantastic game. Highly recommend it.
Hey, Manny. Have you thought about getting into VR? What's going on with that?
Yeah, dude. I got a Vive, not a Vive. What's the Index? I have an Index.
You have an Index. So yeah. What have you been playing? Do you have Alex?
Fucking nothing, dude. Yeah, I have Alex. I haven't fucking played it.
What's going on with that?
It's just the problem of like, I don't want to like transfer my PC to the living room, So once I got a desk in my room, I don't want to like transfer back out to the living room to play Alex. And I don't want to play Alex on like the minimum requirements, which is pretty much what I'm running on. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to wait for the next series of GPUs to come out. And then I'm probably going to get that and upgrade my entire rig. And then I'll play Alex.
You're the third person that I've talked to that has Alex that hasn't played it. It's weird, man.
Because I'm looking forward to it because the game looks amazing and I'm so hyped for it, but I don't want to play it at like 15 frames.
I gotcha. Fair enough. Take all that money you're making and invest it, man.
That money you're saving.
Pay off debt first.
All right. Let's talk about God's Trigger.
I've reviewed this before with Ray, and Ray just hated it right off the bat. So, and we reviewed it at the same time, so it was really hard to review.
How's that old son bitch doing?
Ray? You talk to him?
Yeah,
he moved to LA, and he, as soon as they moved there, we're put in quarantine. So it's like, who knows how you're doing? You know,
dude. Actually, being quarantined in LA is like where I want to be because LA fucking sucks. I hate LA, dude. I'm sorry.
Yeah, me no. A lot of people do. I would never live there. It's just I say San Diego is LA without the problems.
Yeah.
Anyway, so it's hard to really like describe this game. It wants to be.
It's that game from PS1, Loaded and Reloaded. You ever hear of those games?
Yeah, I've played those games.
That's so that was like a top-down twin six shooter that had killer clowns exploding dudes in mental institutions.
Yeah,
that's what this game looks like.
Yeah, it's a lot like that. It's like Hotline Miami, but they wanted to put strategy into Hotline Miami. So you can like what do you call it? Mark who you're going to kill in what order, and your friend can do the same thing. And if you do it in the right order that you had marked, you get time slows down. But it's like the game is so chaotic that
it's a really fast paced game.
None of that shit ever works out. Like almost none of it.
But you have to have amazing coordination skills and play with the person a lot to do it well.
Yeah. So JP Diddy and I played it for probably like close to 4 hours yesterday. And there was points where I did not like this game. I was like, you know, this is not what it wants to be. It's not very enjoyable, blah, blah, blah. And then there were points where I was like, this is the greatest two player game ever. So it skirts the line between the two. That's why I think it's like sitting at a 77%, 70%.
It looks nice. The visuals are good.
Yeah. So we had some technical difficulties where we disconnected, hard crashes, probably happened 4 or 5 times in that 4 hours, which is a little too much to be honest, because we had to start the whole, not just the save point over, but like the level over. And that sucked. You get all of these abilities, right? So it's fun. The game is fun. One is a demon, one's an angel. They're quipping back and forth. None of that's all that great. But it's cel-shaded graphics. It looks like a comic book. And I think we can all agree that's really a good aesthetic to go with, especially if you could pull it off, which they did. But man, so
it looks like a little bit like synthetic.
We kept comparing the two.
We're covering a lot of top down stuff today.
We are. Yeah. We definitely are
hitting that hard.
I'm starting to like think that it might be my favorite genre, like top down. I don't know. It's just so simple.
Genre, you do play a lot of top downs. Yeah. Thinking about it.
So we were talking about it, and I was like, so let's compare this to synthetic. He's like, well, it has better story, it has better animations, it has better, just the look is better. And I was like, yeah, but I think I prefer synthetic just because it's different every time you play it. And the spec points in this game, at the end of the game, I had, you know, I'm level whatever, 18. I have 5 special abilities. I use none of them. 0. At the end of the game, at the end of the day, think about if they gave you special abilities in Hotline Miami. Like, you just don't use them. At the end of the day, it comes down to twitch mechanics and coming from the right angle and all of that kind of stuff. We rarely, rarely use our special abilities. That said, what's this going for, Bobby?
This one is $14.99.
If you and a friend were hard up to play something together and you've played everything else, $30 for two people, I would say, yeah, go ahead. But it's not going to blow your hair back. I really wanted to. There are moments in this game where you're like, wow. Like when you clear a room the way that the game intended you to do it, you're like, that felt awesome. But then most of the time, you're just kind of like face attacking, you know, and just taking it and you get it done and you just move on to the next room. You just kind of like cheese it out. And just that's just human nature to take the easiest way out of something instead of like doing it the way that the devs intended you to do it, which is granted way cooler, but it's not as fast as just mowing your way through with machetes and machine guns. That make any sense, Bobby?
Yeah, like, no.
Everything you're seeing right there,
what you're talking about.
Everything you see right there is almost useless. The entire skills tree.
Yeah, that's how I feel about some brawler beat 'em up games. Like, I just run around, I use a light attack and maybe the throw. I never use like a heavy attack or a combo or something like that. It's that's kind of a, I don't know. I've never played this game, so I don't want to say it has bad game design, but that's kind of what I feel about older games. Like, they just didn't create a necessity for you to utilize all the tools that they give you. So it's, I don't know. I feel like that's something that could have been
and come to the extent where like we brought it up while we were playing. It was like, dude, are you using your special abilities? He's like, nope. Are you using yours? I'm like, no. And we just kept mowing on through, you know.
All right. Okay, is it time for news,
Bobby? I got a question for you.
Yeah.
Like, it's like you're kind of like a fan of the 90s, right?
Sure.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, the reason I'm asking is because I'm looking at the screen here, and your shoes look like Jordans from like '93. Is that what you're wearing?
No, these are SC Trainers.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I swear to God, those look like Jordan pumps from like 1993 when like MC Hammer was rocking them.
Yeah, pumps and a bump.
But they are Nikes. Okay.
Yeah, they are Nikes. Nikes is mostly what I wear. Just they fit my feet and they're very comfortable to me. But I do like the SC Trainers. When I bought these ones, I almost bought the Bo Jackson Tecmo Bowl ones. And they had just on the loop here, they had like a Bo Jackson, like a 8-bit Bo Jackson on the inside of the tongue there. It was so cool. But they
were, and you didn't buy it?
I think those ones were like 140 or something at the time.
As opposed to...
These ones I got super cheap. I can't remember what I paid for these ones. Probably like $40.
Oh.
Yeah.
Dude. Oh, man.
Extra $100.
Yeah, these are very comfortable shoes. And I've been wearing them a lot. And I like the maroon color. Yeah.
Yeah, do they look good? Looks like some good high tops, man. For sure.
I made one joke about Bobby wearing off-color shoes. He's like, what are you talking about? He is always wearing shoes that are not like regular colors. They're always like orange,
what's
red.
What's a regular color for a shoe, though?
Black, white, blue.
Black, white, and blue?
That's it.
I didn't notice, but yeah, I guess now looking back, I can see it.
Yep. All right.
Amelia, did you want to talk about Dragon Ball FighterZ?
Oh, Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah. So I just wanted, are you still playing online? Are you playing competitively? What's going on with that?
I am playing, I'm playing on, I guess, what you would call the competitive online scene, but I'm playing enough to maintain my skill level. Like, I'm not really getting any worse or better, but, like, I just don't have the time, really. I don't game as much as I used to, man. But I play, like, purposefully. Like, I don't just play this game just to play. Like, I play to train, I try to practice combos, and I play to get better or to maintain my level, which is what I'm doing.
And, have there been updates since the game came out? Like, Is there a lot of support behind it, or
They just came out with season 3, which like is basically a brand new game. This happened 2 months ago, maybe, but it changed a lot. Like, it turned the game upside down. So it used to be like every character had one assist. So if you don't know what assist is in an attack fight, is a tag fighting game, 3-on-3. You press a button and a character comes in, does one move, and then vanishes out. So they changed that. So everybody has 3 assists. So the game used to center around like you would find characters whose assists would like synergize with your other characters. But now that you can change your assists with the characters, like everybody's like has new team compositions. Like I had the same team from like day one of playing this game, but once season 3 hit, my team changed completely.
That makes sense, because sometimes you would even have a shitty character on your team just because his assist was so good.
Yeah, and that's what brought characters up in a tier list. Like if they had good assists, I would just bring them up dramatically. But now it's like the whole list has been changed.
Good. And then what about new characters? Is that
happening? Yeah, new characters. They just dropped, if you're a fan of the series and you watched Dragon Ball Super, they just dropped Kefla, and which is just another Super Saiyan. That happened maybe about a month ago. And Ultra Instinct Goku, which is also of the new series, is going to drop, I believe, next week or 2 weeks from now. And then they also have, I believe, 3 more characters coming after that that they haven't announced, but they say we're going to come out with these 3 characters, but nobody knows who it is.
Are you paying for all these updates and all this stuff, or how's this?
I mean, you can buy the Fighter's Pass, like the Season Pass type thing. You can buy them individually. You can buy the pass, whatever you want. It's like $5 a character or like $20 for the pass or something like that. And with the pass, you get them a couple days early and you get all the characters.
Cool. So you've been completely happy with this game?
Yeah, dude. Like this is like the first fighting game that I've gotten into since like Killer Instinct for the Super Nintendo.
Damn.
So yeah, it's been a long time, and I've been learning a lot about fighting games because, as you were talking about JM Cross as well, I've been watching other 2D fighting YouTube channels, and they've been teaching me a lot. And I actually last week I came across like a YouTuber, like a really famous fighters YouTuber, who was just like leveling up a Smurf, and he beat the shit out of me. But I was like, was that him? Like, I tweeted at him, I was like, hey, how'd dude, you know was that I it just was him, you? Because I was watching his YouTube, his video, his latest video on one monitor and playing him on the other monitor. I was like, dude, was that you? I'm like literally watching your video right now. He's like, yeah, dude, I'm just leveling up an account. It's like, dude, that's fucking awesome. I just got beat by you. And I was like, so geeking out.
Thank you, sir. Can I have another?
Exactly. And we played a lot of games together. Like, usually you play first to three, but then like we met up again like after that first to three, and like I actually got in like one good match against him, which I wasn't going to win, but he just let me win because I guess he's like, man, you did well this match, so just take this
win.
That's
cool, man. That's really cool. Bobby, how many people are playing this right now?
Let's take a look. Scroll all the way down here. Cost all that DLC. 1,300 people playing right now.
It's pretty good. Steam.
And so this game, really big in Japan as well as America. That's like the two main places. I had something loaded up. I can't remember what I was going to say. This game is really good for new people like that don't know fighting games, because it's extremely forgiving in that like combo execution is not exact or precise. Like you can like flub up a button here or there. As long as like the game knows what you're trying to do, you're probably gonna do it. It doesn't mean that you're gonna like land every combo, because I still drop shit all the time, even though I practice it more than 100 times. Like I'll still drop a combo online. But like if you can get about the correct input, and the game can like, okay, you're trying to do this, but you did this, it'll give it to you.
And I feel the same thing happens on the defensive end, because I was watching a JM Crofts game, and he was like, sometimes they take a weird bounce, and then they can bounce, they can block something they wouldn't have otherwise. And it's just a weird bounce.
There is kind of like a kind of like an auto block system where if something happens in the game that the game says maybe somebody wouldn't be able to react to something like this, so it just kind of gave you the block.
Right.
Yeah, that's it's not so forgiving that like it's like baby easy mode. Like the pros in this game are godlike. So like there are of course levels, and it's not like an easy game itself.
Everything, yeah. Cool, man.
So, yeah, I'm glad that you're going to be catering to you. But yeah, I still play this game. I still love it. I play it at least every week.
Nice.
Very cool.
And I got to pee again.
Oh, as in Sniper was saying in the chat right now, as long as you can rotate the stick. I tried training Sniper in this game, and he just couldn't get the Hadouken motion down because he doesn't have a background in fighting games. So it was just hard for him to like understand what a quarter circle forward and how, like, to me, that's muscle memory. Like, mm-hmm. that takes absolutely no brain power. Yeah. But someone who's never had to do that, it was a bit difficult.
Mm-hmm. I played a lot of Street Fighter and not so much Mortal Kombat. So the Hadouken motion or the Shuriken, like the forward and then the quarter turn. Yeah, I got that stuff down, but I'm used to doing it on an analog stick or a D-pad. I'm sorry, directional pad. So the analog stick is kind of tough for me. Plus, I feel like that kind of won out. Well, maybe not, because Mortal Kombat is still very popular. But Mortal Kombat seemed to have more of the back, forward, back, down, up, you know, like those types of things. Like,
yeah, quarter circles weren't as big in Mortal Kombat, for sure. It was like left, right, stuff like that.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk a little news here. This probably won't affect Emilio that much, so I guess we can bring this one up. Jason Schreier leaves Kotaku. So he posted something earlier this week, or last week actually, on Kotaku saying that he would be leaving very soon. And he is going to be, he does a podcast right now called Split Screen, but he's going to be canceling that because it's with Kotaku. He's going to be starting another podcast. He's going to be finishing his book, his sequel to Blood, Sweat, and Pixels.
He wrote that?
Yeah, he wrote Blood, Sweat, and Pixels.
That was a good book, man.
Yeah, it was a great book. And he's been working on the second one. He's been talking about that, and he's going to focus on finishing that up. Also, he's got a seven-month-year-old kid that he wants to spend time with. So it sounded like those were his main reasons. He did reference something else, though, saying that he didn't want to get into detail while he was leaving, but, you know, once this happened, then it was clear that he couldn't work for this company too much longer. And he referenced a link to an article about, I read like a little bit into it and I totally lost interest. It was about a lady that was, had quit working for a different outlet, I think still under Gawker. And it was not a good split. She'd had some trouble with management. It was talking about, you know, trying to write stuff that makes money and also, you know, having some journalistic integrity. It was long and it was referencing a bunch of stuff that I was unfamiliar with. So rather than going down the rabbit hole of research, I was just like, whatever. Okay. He's leaving Kotaku. That's good enough for me. All right. And, but yeah, that's crazy. He has been a huge asset to them. The guy's definitely made a name for himself, just being able to get in touch with anonymous people in developers and really getting that inside scoop and presenting things very clear and just really getting factual, truthful information out there in a time where that is becoming increasingly rare.
Oh, yeah. Man, yeah, but I'm just like blown away that this guy, like, I don't know, man, his book was just so well written. So I feel like Kotaku, as a writer, like they would want to keep him and like try to make him happy, but man, it must be a big thing for him to just leave like that.
Also, dude, at a certain point, you're bigger than the publication that's publishing you.
Yeah, I guess you're right. As a well-known author, in the video game circles, yeah, he's pretty well known. Yeah.
I found out about him first from the book, and then realized he wrote for Kotaku. And then he had some really, he's done a ton of articles for him, but he had some really big ones, particularly focusing on Blizzard, I think, and Anthem,
BioWare.
BioWare, and so yeah, the guy's made a big name for himself. So I'm sure he'll be just fine. I didn't realize he had done a podcast, though. I'm interested in checking out his new one. That'd be interesting. And of course, once his next book comes out, like, it's going to be a must read for any gamer.
Gummy.
Yeah, man, I can't wait for that. I didn't even know it was coming out, but yeah, I'm going to put that on the wish list somewhere.
Yep.
Gummy, thanks for the sub. 9 months.
Yep,
thanks,
Captain homie. Gummy, and also Drillbit earlier with a 6 month sub. Thank you very much, guys.
Now, I also read another book called The Ultimate History of Video Games. This one takes a different take on video game history. This goes from like the origin of video games and where they came from.
I read a little bit of that. I couldn't make it through.
It's very dry.
It is like an encyclopedia. So just be prepared for that. Like
it really sounds was.
Like one of the guys writing the actual code wrote the book.
It's a very dry book. Yeah. But I'll just give you the cliff notes. It was really interesting. Like the origin of video games, and he goes from all the way from like the 70s to I believe like 2002 to when the Dreamcast died. While I was going through this, I thought it was a more recent book. I didn't actually look at the copyright date. And once I got to the end, I was like kind of disappointed that it didn't really go into anything past like the PS2, really.
Mm-hmm. Hey, next time you sink 30 hours into reading a book, think about how much better you're going to get at your combos if you put it inside Dragon Ball Z, man.
Well, I wasn't reading it at home. I was doing it when I had other time, like outside of the house.
Oh, that means work. You were reading at work? Is that what you're trying to say?
That. They could be listening right now. I'm not saying anything like that. But
dear mini,
yeah, it was really cool. Like they actually go like this author. He went and talked to the Shigeru Miyamoto, the owner of Nintendo, and talks about like his history and how he became like the owner of Nintendo and how he was just like a lowly developer that made just shitty games. And John Carmack and John Romero and how they started. I mean, it's not as entertaining as a book as The Masters of Doom, but it is insightful and gives you a lot of like technical history and exact dates on when everything came.
Yeah, it's almost it's difficult to get through because it's not presented really as like a narrative or a story.
It's more like an encyclopedia.
Yeah, it's almost like something you would reference. But it is very well researched and it's very accurate. And I haven't been able to make it through that one. But I did pick up one someone had mentioned in a listener question, stay a while and listen or something to that effect. It has to do with Blizzard specifically. But I like the ones that have more of a narrow focus on one aspect of gaming. I would love to see one that just focuses on Nintendo, the history of Nintendo. That would be very cool to me.
Weird that
Nintendo is so private. I don't think they would allow anything like that.
Oh, I'm sure there's got to be something out there.
Maybe, yeah.
All right. Next bit of news here. Doom Eternal developers react to a 27-minute speed run.
So this is maybe the third devs react to video that I've seen. And it's something special, man, especially this one, because they've never seen any speed running. They've never seen their game broken. They've seen errors or bugs or whatever, but they haven't seen exploits, right? So when I say that they're going into this fresh, they don't know it's going to be 27 minutes. I don't think they know how long they're going to be sitting there for. And to say that they were shocked, annoyed, and appalled by what they saw. Well, it's putting it mildly, like there's probably three or four devs on the audio track while this guy's doing his crazy shit. And they're just constantly being like, what is he doing? What the fuck is that? And then one guy he's really annoyed. He's like, we should start like putting things in the game to like counter this kind of stuff. And another guy is like, you know, they're all have their own approach. It's 100% real. And I'm saying their reactions are real because you can definitely tell that they've never seen anybody do anything like this. And I don't know.
27 minutes is a very low time too. I remember when the game first came out, it was around 2 hours. Then I saw like 40 minutes and it hung there for a while. And then this is the first time hearing about a 27-minute run. But
this thing is probably going to be like down to 10 minutes by the time like a world record comes out next year or something.
There's a world record right now. But yeah, they'll cut down minutes.
But yeah, this game is down. It's been out for 2 weeks maybe.
Mm-hmm. And but I wonder if they will patch that stuff. Because it looks like there's a lot of wall hacks being used. And
well, that's the thing about these games, Bobby. If it's patched, they'll just run an older version so that they can get their speed runs done.
So I actually watch a lot of breakdowns of speedruns, like from like all games. This is a really knowledgeable YouTuber, Carl Jobst, K-A-R-L, Jobst. And he's been in the speedrunning world since like Doom 2. He knows everything that goes on. If he doesn't know, he researches it. And I saw a video on how this was done. And it's like, of course, there's no hacking done. Like, this game is done just by like the current build. And they just use exploits. Like, they find bugs in the game and they find out how to exploit those bugs. Mm-hmm. And the majority of this speedrun is a jumping bug where they use like a slowdown mechanic combined with like a sloping jump mechanic is how it's explained. But
so it's really interesting.
Technically so, right now, but yeah, it's just bugs in the game.
They said that if he was working at 60 frames or 100 frames a second, he would have been able to do this. But because he was playing at 240 frames or whatever, he was doing so he'd get his body in a crevice and then switch his weapon so fast that somehow that built up momentum, and then it would shoot him out above the whole level, and he would just sail to the end of the level. So, weird. Yeah, really weird.
Yeah, this is looks like an interesting run. And it's a good time to mention that there was a speed run. You can watch the replays now, but they were doing like a COVID benefit speed run because they had to cancel summer games done quick. So they had a short one that only lasted over the weekend. They had some good runs in there. They did KOTOR last Saturday.
How's your KOTOR run going?
I haven't been back to it yet, surprisingly. No. Yeah,
you did all the groundwork, and then you were like,
"Yeah, it's still there." Now I can't delete it because I don't want to do all that again.
But yeah, yeah.
I will get back to it once I stop getting distracted by Divinity and Academia school.
I've been playing KOTOR on my phone.
That's one that you can get for free if you subscribe to like the
Amazon.
Yeah,
that's where I got it.
I got it free. I think I got KOTOR 2 for free on Amazon, but also it's included in a lot of the Apple or Google game subscription things.
Now, Manny, when you're saying that I've been playing, like, how many hours into your playthrough are you?
I am just about to get off of the Dantooine, I think it's called, the Jedi means, planet.
The like first one or the hours? Second one?
The first Jedi planet.
Several hours, would you say?
Yeah, probably like 5 hours, because I think like the initial city takes like 3 hours, and I'm like 2 hours into Dantooine.
That's a lot.
I think it's called Dantooine.
A mobile game, man. That's good.
I tried playing KOTOR 2 on mobile, and it's just, I can't play any games on mobile that weren't specifically designed for it. It's just too small of a screen, and the controls feel weird.
It is rough, and I've been playing also Baldur's Gate 1 on that, and that is rough, but it's a good port. It's really well-made port, but yeah, it is rough on such a small screen.
All right, time for listener questions. Got a couple this week, not a lot. We missed one last week, so I'll put it up here at the front. This is from Controlled Pairs. What peripheral hardware do you consider essential? Any that aren't essential, but you still highly recommend?
Could have sworn we answered this, or maybe I just...
It was on the notes. We forgot to read it because you got it in the last minute.
Good headphones, good microphone, dude. That's like essential. If you're going to be playing alone, good headphones. Like really good German-made headphones. That's my pick.
I took this from Mini. I think it was Mini that you brought it up to me, where you were like, don't buy gaming headphones.
Yeah, that's fine. I've told that to many people.
Music or you know, otherwise audio file headphones, and then just use some sort of gaming mic or whatever, recording mic. Mm-hmm. And I haven't done that. I do have noise-canceling headphones, which work really well. Like today, I was trying to give Bobby tips while he's playing Ape Out a little bit, and he couldn't hear me at all when I was trying to talk to him.
Yeah. It's funny because you can't hear what goes on in your garage, but everybody else on voice comms with you hears it loud and clear.
Yeah. My dog going crazy.
Yeah, you give him a squeaky ball, and then we're like, what the hell is that? And you're like, oh, is that loud? Can you hear that? And I'm like, it's literally inside my brain. It's like a needle inside my brain. Yeah, but I think a good mic is just common courtesy in this age that we live in, where everybody's on Discord and communicating with each other. Like, when someone's got a bad mic, it's just dude, come on.
Yeah, it's just irritating to everybody else when you got like a gaming headset mic. And then you gotta be the guy that
says it, like, can you not talk?
Oh, and the worst when they have like voice activation instead of button activation, they got like barking dogs and screaming kids and... Yeah, that's horrible.
A lot of distractions. But when it comes to hardware, yeah, that stuff is great. But there's a few pieces of hardware that I could not live without. Number one, IPS monitor. There was recently an article on PC Gamer, and the title of it, like, what's better for gaming, IPS or TN? I'm like, really? Really?
Did you read it?
Yeah, I clicked on it just to be like, is this really an article? And then, like, the first paragraph, they're like, well, obviously it's an IPS. I'm like, yeah, no shit, dude. Like, what's faster, a Ferrari or a Pinto? Find out. Like, what kind of clickbait title is that? I was like,
it worked.
Because it was so stupid that I was just like, I have to see, is this legit? But yeah, an IPS monitor, I mean, I think that you get better color, better viewing angles. I think you have to have one of those for gaming and just, especially if you're working with any sort of like graphic design, video editing or something, it's crucial. Also, SSDs, I think it's shocking, Sniper, when people don't have an SSD. Like, I think it's ludicrous. Wow. This day and age. Every day.
PC, you know, Bobby, gamer. You said that, like, I remember a while ago, like a long time ago, you were like talking about like, you shouldn't get a hard disk drive and they're just garbage. And that kind of hurt me because at that time, like, I was broke and I couldn't afford an SSD.
But
I think I had like a 112 or it's just something really small, below a 256, and that was just to hold my operating system, and I could not put anything else on it.
That there are starving children in Africa who have SSDs right now. Price per gig is so
maybe
low
now, but you're saying like it's a must, and it does help a lot. It is a huge performance booster. But it's not a requirement.
It's a requirement. It makes your boot times faster.
It hurt me, dude. Like, quicker. I was starving in San Diego, and you said I was a garbage gamer, basically.
SSDs, it literally makes everything faster. Everything runs off of your hard drive. Yeah. Everything
you're
is
right.
faster.
It does, but that doesn't negate the fact that I felt poopy.
So my buddy was like, again, going back to the COVID-19 video games. He's like, I can't fit these games on my PlayStation 4. He goes, I'm going to get this 2 terabyte hard drive or upgrade. And I was like, oh my God, don't do that. 2 terabytes. I was thinking SSD numbers, right? So that's got to be $200-$300. But
yeah, they're pretty reasonable in price.
But for the PlayStation, it's always external. Those are external hard drives. So it was $60 for 2 terabytes.
Yeah, when you're getting that big, usually you don't get a SSD. Yeah. I mean, if you can get an M.2 hard drive, because those are even faster, they take up a lot less space. Yeah, those are great. It's literally like a little RAM chip that you just stick on your
same size as a RAM chip.
Yeah, even smaller, actually.
Yeah, it's like half the size, really.
Yeah, but SSDs, IPS monitors, and there's something else I'm forgetting too. There was always like the three that I was like, this is what you need, but I can't remember.
I'm just going to say this because it's on my mind. I've been running a Bloody keyboard. I don't even know if they're still in business. The company name was Bloody.
Dude, you've been running that for like 3 years.
Yeah, and it's one of these light strike fucking keyboards. So
it's like the laser, right?
There's nothing mechanical going on. Basically, you push something down, there's a piece of light, there's an LED, and then what's being detected is the break in the light going across, right? So you're breaking the laser that's going on. So there's so little mechanically going wrong that I piss on this thing, I come on this thing, hair, dog food, all kinds of shit. Never had any problems with my keyboard. This is, about 3 years, Minnie. And nothing's been going on, like no problems whatsoever. You get all the lighting options. We had a little sponsorship deal with them for a little while. But that was only because we went to E3 and I was so like impressed with the LightStrike. They weren't the first ones, but they were the first ones that I had seen. And so we talked to them and... they were a good company, and I would still back them, and I would say this is a good keyboard still.
Hmm. Yeah, I think the H70R.
Yeah, I feel like it was one of the lower grade ones.
That might have been the 810. Yeah, it's a pretty good keyboard. Pretty quiet. pretty quiet for a keyboard.
Yes.
Got to avoid those loud, noisy keyboards. You know, maybe the other thing I was thinking of was refresh rate. Like, you got to have a, in this day and age, you got to have at least 120 hertz refresh rate on a monitor.
See, he just made me feel poopy, man. I only have 100. He's good at that.
Yeah, man. Such an elitist.
Imagine being a student of his. If you don't have an A.
All right, another question from Controlled Pairs here. I scored an interview with the developer of my favorite game to help them get the word out on their latest update. Any tips to make it awesome?
I told them, yeah, let us do it, is what I told them, but I was just fucking around. Shit, I don't know, man. It's tough. It all depends on how much they're giving you. If they're giving you a ton, they're just talking, you take the back step and you just let them talk. If they're not talking at all, you have to take the lead and you have to allow them to talk. Why are we both here? To get information out of that person, right? Mm. So if they're freely just pouring out, have a cup. If they're being reserved, poke some holes in that balloon and get it to start pouring. I don't know how to make you do that. Like, it's hard to, but
I like this analogy.
Yeah.
That was surprisingly well put.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, from the guy who never does any of the interviews.
Yeah.
I'll tell you two things, and they're the same answers everybody always gives to this question. Number one, do your research. This doesn't sound like a problem for you because it's a game that you're really into. You probably know quite a bit about it. But whenever I interview somebody, I like cyberstalk them. I look at their Twitter. I go through all their tweets. I look at any YouTube content they have. I look at all the games that they've done, like anything I can possibly find, and just read it, watch it, do your research. The other thing is listen. Just listen. It's good. You know, every person that you interview is always going to be different. You never know which way it's going to go. But a big part of conversation is listening. And a lot of people don't listen. They just wait for their turn to talk. And that's very apparent sometimes. And, you know, I'm not even like great at doing interviews. Sometimes I walk away from the ones that I do and I'm just like, oh, I go over like every mistake that I made. But it's, you know, I feel like I've gotten better at it and I've gotten a little more comfortable with it. And they're not, I still kind of like dread these things. Like, cause you know, what if something's going to go wrong technically? What if like, you know, I say something wrong or like, I, you know, there's so many things that can go wrong. So it's kind of nerve wracking, but the more you do it, the easier it gets. But that's awesome that you got that opportunity. And I hope you, once you do it, you should share that with us. We'd love to hear it.
I try to I've brought it up a few times, but I just think it's something. I'm not very good at many things, but one thing is I'm good at is conversation. But that's only because, like, mentally, I'm always a few sentences ahead of the conversation. I know what I generally think that I know what people are going to say, and so I can prepare for that. I could start mentally preparing for what they're going to say and then already have something queued up. But that can backfire as well, because if they go a completely different, which doesn't happen very often. But just, I don't know, try to think a little bit ahead. It helps out a lot. And
now, going off what you were saying, Bobby, Emilio, and I think you'll agree with me too. Take notes from Sean Evans, the guy that does Hot Ones. He's one of the best interviewers I've ever seen.
Oh, he's very, very good.
Dude, he does his research, he listens, he responds to what they're saying, and he's a yes and person.
Yeah. That's not, you got his name completely wrong. You said a UFC fighter, actually. Oh,
Sean, it's not Sean Evans?
Oh, I thought you said Rashad Evans.
Oh, no, Sean Evans.
Oh, yeah, Rashad. Okay, yeah. But yeah, he's super good. So much so that they always mention it while it's going on. They'll be like,
yeah, the celebrity would be like, wow, this is like the best interview I've ever been on.
Yeah, yeah. It's pretty good. He's good. But it's hard to teach that, right? Like, or how do you explain, oh, just go with the flow? And,
yeah. But, well, yeah. It was actually just exactly what Bobby was saying. Like, listen and do your research. Like, that. Like, first do your research and then listen and respond to what they're saying. Because, yeah. Like you were saying, too many people just wait for their turn. They got a question queued up. No matter what you said right now, I already have my next question.
And listening is doubly important because you're not just listening for you. That's the goal. That's why we're here. Whatever you're saying, that's why we're here. It's not just for me. I'm not just listening, but everybody, all my listeners are listening to what you're saying. So listening is doubly important.
For sure.
Yep.
All right. Next question from Days. Which villain from any game would you want on your team against a zombie apocalypse? Or which protagonist from any game would you last pick on your team for a zombie apocalypse?
Can I go first?
Yeah,
go for it.
All right. So it would definitely be the bad guy from Resident Evil, Trevor or whatever it is. Like, he knows zombies, right? Like, he'd be the best guy to be on your side because he knows exactly what zombies are and created them or whatever. What? I don't know. I don't play Resident Evil. I just know he's like the badass of zombies.
What part of Resident Evil is that from?
Oh, dude, I don't know. He's like the Marvel vs. Capcom. I don't know. I just know him from Marvel vs. Capcom, and I know he's like the bad guy from Resident Evil game.
Gotcha.
I haven't played any of them, but I just know he just knows. He's like the one that started all that bullshit, I think. I don't know. Maybe I could be completely wrong.
I don't think it's Trevor. I think it's Vincent.
That might be it. That sounds right, actually. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's go with that.
Mario. Mario would be the worst protagonist to have on a zombie.
It's so true.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah, that's my two.
Bad guys, I'll take the Reapers from Mass Effect. I feel like, you know, there's probably going to be a little collateral damage there, trying to wipe out the human race, but it's going to get rid of the zombies too, so it's effective.
It's true.
Yeah. Good guy, I don't know. Who knows? Bill from Left 4 Dead?
But, you know, yeah, Bill, I mean, he's good at it, for sure.
But he didn't say, like, what good guy would be the worst?
Yeah.
Yeah, what good guy would be the last pick?
Yeah, Bill. He wasn't that good at it.
Oh, he's the worst. Oh, I get you. The old guy always limping around.
I'm going to do it a little backwards. The good guy would definitely be Toad from... I don't know what Toad does. Does anybody know what Toad does? Does
he have Toad from what? Oh, from Mario.
Does he have any abilities?
He doesn't... He gets, like, accidentally rescued...
Yeah, I think he's like, he can give power-ups, so that's something.
Yeah, he's just taking up my time. Yeah, I don't want any of that. As far as a villain, I mean, something super fucking powerful, like I'll take a Thanos. He'll just blink him out of existence. Done.
Not really a video game character, but okay.
You haven't played Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite.
Dude. Okay, but I feel like he's more closely identified with comic books and movies than he is with video games.
Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite, dude.
Does he snap in that? Does he snap in half the team?
No.
Dies? Because that would be weird. All right, next question from Warconius. This is a hypothetical.
Whisker was the name.
Whisker?
Sorry. Yeah.
Okay. No Sorry. H in there. Yeah. Pandemic destroys most of the world. DLG is one of the few groups left standing, and the UN gives you $500 million to build a theme park based on PC games. Because that's what the world needs. What kind of rides do you have? Themed foods? Who's running the park? Do you let Minnie near the kids? What would an Uncle Ray amusement ride be like?
This is the question of the year. The question of the year. Okay. Jeez. Whew.
That's a lot to sift through.
We have to have...
It's probably going to be some people in costume dressed up as us.
Yeah.
Walking around.
For sure.
Taking pictures with the kids.
You need a Binding of Isaac roller coaster, for sure, where you go in through, like, it's all bloody and there's all kinds of, like, weird.
It would be one of those everywhere. Slow roller coasters.
Yeah, with a lot of buildup.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. What else? Oh, man. I would imagine, like, a Counter-Strike laser tag.
Or shooting gallery. They would have laser tag or shooting gallery.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if bumper cars would be like Forza, like a Forza bumper car thing. Oh, yeah.
Probably some, I kind of picture a ride, like talk about a Uncle Ray amusement ride. It'd probably be like, what's that one at Disneyland with the train? It'd be like that. And at the end you get hit by a mine cart. That's a callback.
What?
That's a distant callback. Somebody out there is laughing.
I don't know what he's talking about.
You don't remember that where he played Call of Juarez because he didn't play Gunslinger?
Oh, right. Oh, yeah.
Hit by a minecart.
That is a deep cut. But that was hilarious.
I still don't get it.
Maybe like, yeah, it was on like we a long time ago. We did the homework. I think this was after you, Minnie. Where we had.
Oh no, I do remember like listening to that specific episode.
And Ray played the wrong game.
Yeah, Ray played the wrong game. He played Call of Juarez instead of Gunslinger, and he couldn't get past this part on his stream where he kept getting hit by minecarts. He tried to like trick him by running out and baiting a minecart out, and then he'd run back in, and one would immediately be there and just. Trample him. It was hilarious.
Instead of the teacups, there'd be like Octodad, like some sort of like.
But like, is Octodad a game that you associate with us? Though, no, not really. There'd have to be like some like old 90s game with terrible graphics on there.
There'd be a DRG something or other.
And obviously, like, no food other than pizza.
No, of course.
Yeah, pizza. What other kind of fun?
Bathrooms everywhere. But just urinals. Urinals everywhere.
Urinals?
Urinals.
I'm drunk.
Urinals. Oh. Urinals. Is it like a unicycle bathroom? Yeah, we could make quite the theme park.
And what's this, do you let Minnie near the kids? What is that about?
Yeah, well. There it is.
I've been hurt so much today.
Alcohol everywhere.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. I think the moral of the story is don't let us design a theme park.
Yeah. All right. Speaking for now. So Minnie, I guess you have,
yeah.
Sounds like you have a lot of time for gaming. What are you playing next week?
Oh, man, other than like, I definitely will be training up more on Dragon Ball Fighters, trying to keep my rank on that. Probably XCOM, that Chimera Squad. I already bought that.
Nice.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it sounds like Bobby's going to play it.
Probably. So this week, I've got another game that was given to us by developers called Fort Triumph. I'm going to be checking out. That's going to be my focus this week. Maybe I'll have time for something else. It depends, man. If I get as hooked on it as I did with Academia School Simulator, then probably not, but... The way things are going, I usually have time for two games now.
Cool. I will be playing... Yeah, I kind of want to finish Ape Out. I want to do the end of the game.
Want to ape
the Ape In?
Ape In, yeah. That's what it's called. I think that's what it's called. I want to finish that. And there's always BR Billions just kind of sitting there. Looks good to me. And... I forgot that I was playing Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite, so I want to finish the campaign in that.
Is that the only fighter you're playing at the moment?
Yeah, dude, I wouldn't even say I'm playing it, dude. There's an auto combo system, and like, I'm just playing it for just what the story is, which is not that bad, actually.
Oh, yeah, so okay.
That's why I'm playing it. Yeah, now, speaking for Bobby, Minnie, thank you for fucking showing up, man. That was cool.
Dude, it was a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, and myself, we're going to go with Devolver Titties, anybody? Bye-bye.
You literally just look
up. Whatever's around.
Whatever's around.
Gray.
Kaiser Soze, everything. Just like, yeah. Headphone titties. I knew it was going to happen because I looked up too, and I'm just like, it's going to be Devolver.